United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! can get Charlie Stable barbecue sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on Election Day 2013. It is a general election all over the country. It is Tuesday, the 5th of November. Six is in studio with me, and I got a guest on the phone, and we're going to talk about some gas and some energy and some Marcella Shell and some charter amendments that are on the ballot. Start giving people an education about what they're reading. If you are in the city of Youngstown, if you are voting today, and I pray that you are, I hope that you are listening in before you vote, because if anyone wants to know, I am partial. I am for fracking. I am for drilling in the Mahoning Valley, and I am against the charter amendment. So I went to vote, and I was so confused because no means yes, and yes means no, and no means no. And then when I called to get information, when I called to get information about did yes mean no or no mean yes, they gave me the wrong information. And so when I got to the board, when I got to my voting poll, I found out that no, I could vote no for what I was talking about. And so I want to talk about that some more. Mike Chasney, are you on the line with me?
Tracy, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. Welcome to Tracy and Friends. Hey, Mike, tell us where you're from and who you are so my listening audience will have a clue of who this voice is.
Sure, Tracy. I live in Summit County, and I work for the Ohio Oil and Gas Association. I'm the Director of Public Relations, and I found myself over in the Valley quite a bit over the last 6 months talking about the very issue you just brought up.
I'm telling you, I sit on the Board of Elections. I think I'm pretty smart.
Yes.
I'm so confused.
It's tough, you know, when you have folks that are pushing something that are doing things to deliberately confuse and mislead, misrepresent an issue for the voters. Because last time, this same group put this issue on the ballot, which is fair. You got two groups of people that disagree on something. Let's put it to the voters and make a decision. They did that. Their issue went down by 15 points. So on face value, when it comes to black and white, you put it on the ballot, they lose. So now they had to rearrange things, word things funny. No means yes, yes means no, to try to confuse people to get their way. Look, if you can't win on your merits, I don't know that you should be able to win because they're just trying to confuse people to get votes. It's very frustrating.
Mike, it's a book.
You know, okay. This is a good thing for the ballot.
But Mike, have you seen the ballot language that's on that's written?
I have. I'm not a voter in Youngstown, but I have seen it. Yes.
It's a book.
Oh yeah, multiple pages.
It has its own page and a half.
Yes, it does. It's gonna be a challenge for a lot of folks to read through all that. A lot of legalese, a lot of terminology folks just aren't familiar with. It's got to be frustrating for voters. Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Very wordy. It's very wordy, Tracy.
I'm so confused.
Let
Even
me help
the summary
you.
Is confusing.
Vote no. That's just vote
okay.
no. Let me just clarify it for you. Let me make it simple. Tony, just vote no. It's just a mess.
Just say no.
Just say no. It's bad for Youngstown. The chamber's against it. Labor's against it. Republicans, Democrats, independents are against it. The industry's against it. Everybody's against it. It's bad for business. It's bad for Youngstown.
Just say no.
Just say no. Just like last time. You know, the issue was up and it went down. And these folks just said, we're going to keep putting on the ballot until it passes. All right, we'll give you one. Maybe I can understand a second time, but how are you going to keep – this costs money, this costs time, this costs energy, this costs effort. Look, folks, nobody agrees with you. Move on.
Hey, Mike.
Frustrating,
Tracy. Hey, Mike, this is Sticks, co-host. What's driving these people?
Well, there's a national movement, really, let me be clear, it's not an environmentalist movement. I like the environmentalists. We can get along with them. There's a lot we agree on. Natural gas is good for the environment. It's the anti-development crowd, whether it's a rose garden in downtown or expanding this or expanding that. These people just don't want it. I'm not for it. I'm against it, because what you hear is when these folks are out talking, and what I mean by these folks, I mean Frack Free Mahoning, Don't Frack Ohio, Stop Frack Ohio. These folks don't ever bring up an alternative. It's just your idea is bad, and that's it. It's not, well, I disagree with you and I propose this. It's just stop. It's bad. It's unregulated. There's loophole. All these lies, all this misinformation, half-truths, misstatements, they just come out and say it's bad, it's wrong, I don't want it. And that's their mission. They want to grind the industry to a halt. They want to stop the jobs. Stop the investment. It's shameful. It's a tragedy, really.
It really is. I don't think you've seen the language, Sticks.
Oh no, I haven't. I'm from Salem, so I
the language is just. It's overwhelming. And if you are, I was looking at the ballot this morning, and I wanted to vote it down, and then when I looked at it to read it again as a voter, I got confused all over again. So I made some calls and got some bad information. Mm-hmm. Then when I went to the polling place, I got confused all over again, because you got people telling me yes means no and no means yes and yes. And it was so overwhelming. And I don't think people realize that this is not a Bill 1 that can actually be even enacted, because it usurps state law.
Right.
It does.
Oil and gas.
Yep.
It's one, I don't think people realize that. And they're using this as a way to scare off the people that want to come here and do business.
Oh, it's definitely, I mean, the previous one was definitely new business.
Well, this one is just as bad, if not worse.
It's trouble. I mean, when you read in there, I mean, that first go-around was saying places like Vienna and Star are not good. We want to be, are you kidding me? Folks, they're making steel in Youngstown again. That's a big deal. How can anybody be against that? These folks came out against that. We need to stop that. That's $1 billion invested in the community. You don't want that? You got to be out of your mind.
But how do you address the issue when people say, well, I'd rather have air than gold or oil?
Well,
that's
sure.
how they equated it.
Well, you come out with the truth, and you say that burning natural gas is cleaner than burning coal. We all need power. We all need fuel. We all need energy. And let's take that all for aside for a second. What about the other 6,000 products we use every day that are creature comforts? I mean, plastic, polymer, chemical. How about your pharmaceuticals? How about all that Halloween kit? All these other stuff that's going on around here. That's all a byproduct or refined from crude oil and natural gas.
Well,
this is the most important thing for people to say they want clean air and clean water. So do I, Tracy. I live here. You live here, Sticks. You all live here. We can have the industry and we can have a clean environment, and I'll submit to you that we always have. It's a good thing. Is it perfect? No. But it's not evil either, and it allows folks to bring the jobs and investment in town, allows you to make sure that you can maintain a clean environment, and allows people to have an opportunity to work and provide for their families. That can all happen at the same time.
Well, Mike, how did they manage to change the discussion? I was up north of Salem, and I saw a house with a frack-free Mahoning Valley sign in the front yard, and across the street were two Clinton wells, which were hydraulically fractured probably in the 70s or 80s. How did they change this argument from something that's been already done here for years to somehow making people believe it's new?
Well, because a lot of folks who didn't have maybe a well on their property, or maybe didn't have a son or a daughter or a niece or nephew that worked in the industry, they just simply showed up at the pump, put gas in their car, and flicked their furnace on in the winter, and that was all they really knew about the oil and gas industry. And so when you have national groups, you got these national movies that are coming out of folks that are really making a buck, scaring people to death, saying this is bad, and all these other nonsensical arguments, folks started to tune in. And so it took the industry and the chamber and labor and all these other community partners all across the country to fight back about exactly what you're talking about. A lot of misinformation. Hydraulic fracturing is new. Well, that's not true. It's been around since the 50s. Horizontal development is new. No, that's not true. It's been around for 50 years as well. So the idea that this stuff is all new, and I think it can get a little tricky, because when you talk about conventional versus unconventional, that's not drilling, that's not hydraulic fracturing, that's the particular formations that we're drilling, and you get in a little of the nuts and bolts here, but you can say a Clinton well, a sandstone well, limestone well, those are all traditional or conventional. We've been going there for 100 years. What's unconventional is going into the shale formation. We've drilled through it, we've just never stopped. And so people get caught up in words like that, and then they start to throw things out there, and that's what folks get all worried about, because they've never stopped to ask a question.
Well, do you think it's just the size of the development that's changed that's making people wake up? Because if you drive out around my house, every place you look, you see a pump jack. You see an oil well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And it's fair. It's a fair comment. This is an industrial process. Absolutely. Not here to argue that. And so when you used to be able to drill a Clinton well, you'd be in and out pretty quickly. You won't make a lot of fuss, a lot of noise. You know, a Utica well takes you quite a long time to set that rig up, drill the well, hydraulic fracture the well, put that in production. You got a lot more pipeline, a lot more compressors, a lot more fractionation plants, processing plants. Yes, there's a lot more involved, and there's a lot in this thing's being built, a lot of dirt being moved, a lot of pipeline being laid. So as you travel up and down any given highway in the higher, you can see some new development, which really for the first time is getting folks the experience to it. And I think that's the difference between an old Clinton well, you can get in and out without really many people noticing, to a big Utica well pad that, granted, is going to be there for a little while, but eventually is reclaimed. Yeah, that's something new to a lot of folks. I think that's a big part of it. Good point.
But don't people realize that because it's bigger, it's going to create more jobs?
No.
No. A lot of folks haven't made that connection.
I think because people have not seen the benefit of the job. You know, you don't see the black gold, and everyone in the whole community is not working there. When we had the steel mills the last time, everybody's grandpa had someone who's working in the steel mill somewhere. Right now, we haven't reached that level where everyone has someone connected to a steel mill.
That, Tracy, that's a great point, and I think what the folks and leaders of the Youngstown, Mahoning Valley, and others have learned is that you know, and even the governor talked about it when he was in town last. It's important for communities to diversify. You're making a little steel. You're drilling a little oil and gas. You're doing a little bit of processing. You're doing a little bit of everything so that if the bottom falls out of one thing, the community can still survive. And that oil and gas is proud to be a part of that and is a large part of that and has a lot of ancillary industries that are popping up around the valley, around Youngstown, to support that industry. So it's diversifying the economy. At the end of the day, that's a good thing.
And that's where I come in, and I say that we need to start singing our own song a little bit louder and a little bit farther. Because
sure.
I think what's happening is people, if you don't feel a thing, see a thing, and taste a thing, you won't find out that it's real.
Yeah.
And people have not connected the real reality of oil and gas to their own future or the future of their children or their children's children. They haven't seen the benefits and or the perpetual benefits of it. And until we actually start actually showing people that, you know, your restaurant and the reason why it's more active and you're getting better tips on the weekends because other people are coming in and eating that you don't realize where they're working.
Yeah.
Or
that's,
if
that's going to
if you're getting
more
jobs.
Up.
Yes. Would you say, Mike?
Well, that's going to continue to ramp up. I would, excuse me, I'd say that I'd say 2014, early 2015 is when you're going to see a lot of the processing plants and pipeline in the ground so that you can actually turn a lot of these wells on and actually start producing. That way you can kind of move the projects along a little bit. And we have certainly seen some direct industry-related and indirect-related. I mean, the great example right there is the plumbers and pipe fitters out of 396, Butch Taylor and those guys. I mean, they've got 80-some new apprentices. You know, 2 years ago, they had 40% unemployment. This year, they're to a full percent and up. They're the full 100%, and they're ahead 80 people because they're the ones that are training a lot of these folks for the downhill welding. And I'll tell you this much, there are five careers that we don't have nearly enough of in this industry. So if you're looking for a long-term career, welders, diesel mechanics, CDL truck drivers, well tenders, and machinists. If you know how to do any one of those jobs, it's a great opportunity because those are the careers that really are going to take off because those are the skill sets we don't have nearly enough of.
Mike, a question. You know, I know a lot of people who, you know, they have their CDLs, and they don't know where to go look for these positions. They don't know where to go find them. And there's a lot of people popping up talking about come here and go to work or come here and learn a trade, but they really don't know where to go find the jobs or let them know that, hey, I'm available, I'm drug-free, all I want to do is work and get a paycheck. Where do we start with this?
Well, I tell you what, about 6 months or so ago, the industry worked with U.S. Senator Rob Portman to hold the job fair to handle that exact type of issue. We were over there in the Boardman area and had, I'd say, probably 40 vendors and 12 institutions like educations and trade schools show up, had 1,000 people wander through the door looking for work. Another great example coming up is in December 3rd, 4th, and 5th up at the Cleveland IX Center over there by the airport. The Oil and Gas Association, the group I'm a part of, is holding their annual expo. 200-some-odd vendors, a couple thousand people are going to walk through the door. So if you're looking to meet producers, you're looking to meet companies, suppliers, anybody in the supply chain, going to be a great opportunity to network, drop off a resume, possibly get interviewed, figure out who's operating, who's looking for work, things of that nature. So I'd encourage folks, OOGA.org, look at the expo. December 3, 4, and 5 up at the IX Center. Great opportunity to start talking to folks about what kind of opportunities are out there.
Hey, listen, give that information out one more time. I'm going to take a break really quick. And so people go grab a pen and a piece of paper so that if you didn't get what he said, you'll be prepared to write. I'm going to take my break really quick. I'm going to come back. I'm talking with Mike Chasney. Mike Chasney from the Oil and Gas Association. And it's election day. Please go out and vote. I know it's a slow year. I know there's no hoopla. There's no president. There's no governor. But you don't understand, but all politics are local. You have charter amendments, you have mayor's races, you have school board races, and you have trustee races, and they impact your life every day close to home. And you need to participate, and you need to get out and exercise your civic duty. Take the time and please go and vote. I'll be right back.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite helps them obtain that better nutrition that is hard to find in commercial foods.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc.
There's flaxseed oil,
the seaweed, the kelp.
They don't shed as much, and they're all over very healthy dogs.
We tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859 428-1000.
DINOVITE.com. Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it's 28 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and I hope you're having a good afternoon enjoying this wonderful weather. It's a great day to be able to go out and vote. So please, if you go, and I am asking that you please, if you're in the city of Youngstown and you're listening to us, please say no, no, no. Just say no. In studio with me, I have a ghost who can't talk. And I have Sticks is here also in the studio. And then on the phone with me, I have Mike Chasney. And Mike Chasney is from the Oil and Gas Association. And, Mike, I'm going to ask you to give us the information about the – so there's an expo coming up next month. I'm going to hit you up for advertising. You don't know that yet, but it's coming. But tell us a little bit about the expo, and then tell us where people can reach it. Hopefully they went and got a pen and a piece of paper where they can actually write this information down.
Well, I'll start with this. The website is ooga.org, and that's the Ohio Oil and Gas Association. And when you go there, you'll find the expo. It's our oil field expo and happening for years. We're now at the IAC Center up in Cleveland because it's gotten so large. 200-some-odd vendors. You get a couple thousand people walk through the door. There's a symposium with different speakers. There's a safety congress talking about some of the updates in the industry. And the idea behind this is that if you maybe are looking to hire some folks, you can wander around, meet some people. Maybe if you're looking to find work, you can wander around and talk to some of the producers or some of the folks that are in the supply chain. They'll all be at the event. A lot of industry people just milling about. So it's really an opportunity to just in a network and really get an understanding and an update about what's happening in the industry. That's December 3, 4, and 5 up at the IAC Center. Just a great opportunity. So it's ooga.org.
O-O-G-A as in apple, .org.
Correct.
And you can find all that information there. Tell us how your association, what you guys do. Tell us a little bit about what you do and what that association does and how it complements the oil and gas industry and the and consumers here in the state of Ohio.
Sure. Well, the Oil and Gas Association is like all the other trade associations here in Ohio. It's a nonprofit. Folks join us for any one of a variety of things. We can help them understand what's happening down to the legislature. We can work on issues like what's going on here in Youngstown today. I know if you're a smaller company, there's opportunity to get health insurance. And a lot of those different we hold different meetings, we hold different events, with the expo we just talked about. So really it's a chance for our industry to network with each other, talk about what's going on in the media, talk about what's going on in the legislature, hold social events, hold business events, hold networking events. I've been around 65 some odd years, based in Columbus, a staff of 11, It's a great, great industry, great organization, something to be very proud of here in Ohio.
And how did you get involved in oil and gas? How did that happen?
Well,
tell us a little bit about how you started.
Well, a little bit of right place, right time. I was working in the administration for the great Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, just a wonderful lady. So spent some time with her in the state auditor's office. And she made a great state auditor. She's Lieutenant Governor now. Just a hard-working, dedicated, intelligent lady. I was so glad to be part of her team for a long time. So what was happening was we kept hearing and seeing so much about this Utica shale and trying to figure out what it is and what it wasn't, and was looking for that great opportunity. So something came across the desk to join a group called Energy in Depth, which was working on kind of fact-checking and myth-busting some of the anti-group out there. Did that for 2 years, and then this kind of fell backwards into an opportunity here at the association to work on things on a statewide level for both our large and small producers, focusing a lot on the media, government, community issues, things like that, trying to help keep this thing moving. And I've been doing that now for a little while, a couple months here. So great opportunity for somebody who is looking to stay here in Ohio, raise their family here in Ohio, and have opportunities down the road here in Ohio. It's just a great industry to be a part of. I'm very fortunate.
Now, see, there, the other day, I thought you came to see us. You came because Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor was our speaker. Doggone.
Yes,
I thought it was all about us.
I love seeing you, Tracy. That was
Wait until I tell everybody it wasn't about me. It wasn't about the Mahoney County people. It was all about Mary Taylor.
It was all about Mary Taylor. I was on her, was on her team for a while, and I heard she was speaking. I haven't seen her in a while, so I made a quick trip over there. That was a great place, by the way. And listen to all the great things she's working on in the state of Ohio and John Kasich. It was a wonderful evening.
It was a good evening. And I have to say that the administration is very, very cognizant of the safety matters that are needed when it comes to the drilling in the state of Ohio. And they're making sure that there are people and regulations and security measures and oversight so that everything stays the best. Yeah, you're going to have people like the guy who dropped the brine in the water somewhere. You're going to have people who, but I promise you, if you saw what happened to him, you won't do it again.
Oh, hey, federal violation, that's a big deal. And absolutely, we're a big supporter of legislation, Senate Bill 165 that went through, Senate Bill 315 that went through. And basically all that did was kind of keep us up to snuff with our regulations, kind of saw some things coming. We have to be more proactive than reactive, which is a good thing. But, Tracy, it's common sense regulation. It's not overburdensome. It's not duplicative. It's just good, solid, enforceable regulation. And you can see it works. You got a guy who can't get with the program. He's facing federal and state charges, criminal and civil charges. If you can't get with the program, you're going to be in trouble. But otherwise, it's a good program. OD&R, your Ohio Department of Natural Resources, got great staff. They're professionals, been on job for 20, 30 years. These guys do great work, and we're absolutely right. Governor Kasich and his administration, good regulation. The House of Representatives, good regulation. Yeah, they're good partners.
Yeah, they are. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to join in the conversation, please give us a call. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. Mike, you don't know my co-host, but Styx is a real big, huge proponent of natural gas. Everything he owns is fueled by natural gas, I think.
Yeah.
I like him already.
Yeah, we have that's what gets me crazy. There's a pump jack within 200 feet of my water well on the farm down there. And
yeah.
I've grown up around this business, and when I see a guy like the guy that dumped the water or the brine in the river, I want that guy put under the jail. Because the experience that I've had and most landowners have had with these companies is they're very responsible.
That's true. And that's the way they should be. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, you're supposed to do the right thing. And if you don't, the laws are in place on the federal, state, and federal level to hold you accountable for that. The system works.
And I watch him, you know, because he's really a, like I said, I go down to his house and he's got, his cars are all compressed natural gas. That's my next goal. I want you to know that. And then he goes out and we talk about this often on Wednesdays about energy and the changing of it and realizing that natural gas doesn't blow up like I see on television.
It's very safe. And I tell you what, we have certainly as a society come a long way, a lot more to go, but we have certainly made progress in the LNG market, the CNG market, particularly are the short-term and long-haul truckers. There's some buses and some transportation sectors that are transferring over to CNG. It's starting to happen. We're about to see some shipping and some other things switching over. We're starting to see some public stations where you can fill up, some private stations where you can fill up. We're getting there. We're heading in the right direction. This is going to be another opportunity for folks to have investment in their communities, create jobs in their communities, clean up the environment. Natural gas, CNG burns very clean. It's very efficient, and it continues to make progress. We're certainly not there. There's a lot more ahead of us, but in the last few years, industry and communities have really come together to try to make some of that happen. A lot of good stories on CNG.
You're aware of the CNG station that's going in here in Youngstown?
Yes, I did hear about that.
Had DeMont, I think he was on a couple weeks ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was on a few weeks ago. It's supposed to be open in early 2014.
Yeah. I mean, it's an exciting time if you really understand it. Because my goal, I'd like to get my SUV converted over to CNG.
It can happen. It can absolutely happen.
They tell me. And I'm looking at, if I look at even the cost efficiency of being a compressed natural gas vehicle and how much it will save me, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, there is some initial upfront cost unless you buy a vehicle that's naturally designed that way or built that way. But, yeah, you're going to make your money back pretty quickly. The price to fill up in CNG is quite a bit cheaper than your typical gasoline or diesel engine.
Yeah, right now it's $2.09 a gallon in Canton.
$2.09?
Yeah.
What happened?
Not
to,
bad,
what,
huh?
It used to be a dollar something. What happened? What are you guys
it's
doing?
It's $1.80.
What are you guys
it's
doing to the gas?
It's $1.80 in Youngstown. Or, excuse me, in Columbus.
Don't be messing up and start making it competitive with gasoline. I'm going cheap. Don't you guys understand?
That's still $1.30 less.
Yeah, $1.30 or less. 18 dollars per fill up. That ain't bad. Because it takes me, I mean, I spend almost $70 to fill up my truck every week anyhow. So if I can,
yeah,
save $30 a week, that would not be a bad deal.
Mm-hmm. Better
that
for the environment, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, burns
better.
A lot of
you said, wait a minute, better for them, better safe. Then what are we talking about when they have all this is going to kill you?
Well, you're just misinformation, just out and out, bogus statements from the other side on the issue. When you don't have science, you don't have technology, you don't have engineering on your side, you're not left with much other than just fear-mongering, and unfortunately that's what the other side has taken to.
Now, Mike, have you seen the Frack Nation movie?
I have. Great
movie.
Did
you see it here in Poland by any chance?
I did. I was there one night. They showed it like on some Thursday or Friday night.
Yeah, I think you and I have met then.
I was there. We showed it on the underpass of the bridge, right?
Yes, sir, we did.
Yep, I was there that night. I remember.
Okay. So we have
great movie.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And one of the facts that came out in that movie that I was unaware of, that the anti-fracking movement is being funded in large part by the Russians and the Arab states.
It is. You know, it's something a lot that we don't hear about or talk about much here in Ohio. But if you really boil it down, the company called Gazprom, which is a big Russian, you know, Putin and others, everybody's involved over there. So they sell all of their gas to sort of everybody over in Asia and Russia and Eastern Europe and other places. And with the advent of shale gas happening sort of all over the world, including here in the United States, that's putting a squeeze on them. You know, the Arabs in the Middle East are feeling it on the oil side. The Russians are certainly feeling it on the gas side. You know, the advent of understanding how shale rock acts, what it can produce, It's really having a free market really being able to be built up because of the investment all over the world. And that's got some of the leaders
Are you telling me that the whole this is still a foreign policy political thing and people don't want us to have our own because they don't want us to be independent from other places and they don't want us to be competitive? Are you telling me that's what this all boils down to?
That's a key issue, energy security. You can you know, mine it here, you can drill it here, you can process it here, you can use it here, or you can go someplace that doesn't like us very much and you can get it from there. I'll pick the first one.
You know, Mike, I never really tied that all together.
The movie really lays it out. But if you study it, if you understand it, if you research it, there are outside forces that are really putting the pressure on to try to stop development, not only here in the States but across the world, because they've got their thumb on the development in the Middle East and in Russia.
I had no idea. Hold on just a second. 207, your mic is on.
Yes, just me, Tracy, giving you a call. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Rich?
Good, good. Hey, listen, I just wanted to chime in a little bit on your conversation right there and for the gentleman, your guest right there. I want to direct this first to you, Tracy, in general. I see that you have a gentleman on representing the drilling and oil industry in general right there. But I was wondering, to me, it seems a little bit unfair that you kind of have someone, you know, that's representing that. I can understand their point of view and what they're, you know, what he's saying to represent his country, his company and stuff. But it seemed like maybe you possibly should have had someone that's maybe against it as well to show their points of it, too. I realize it's too late right now to do this, obviously, but it just seems a little bit unfair that. I mean, I know he's representing, but...
Listen, Reg, we've been talking about pro-fracking and anti-fracking, gas, no gas. This is... I'm taking a political stand because I care about my community. And so, you know, if somebody wants to call in and they are against fracking, they're more than welcome because I'm not going to stop them from having the conversation. But my guest today, I didn't go out and find somebody who was going to be concerned, but if anybody wants to call in and do that, they're more than welcome. But today is election day, and the charter amendment that they're going to put on the ballot here in the city of Youngstown is so against the people who live here that they need to know that. They need to really understand that this is a game, and this game is really not about what they're telling you. They keep on telling you it's about sucking water and has nothing to do with that. It's about what they're trying to do and the money that they're trying to make and who's funding them.
Okay.
And so if they want to call in, they're more than welcome. But you need to know if you get ready to get a snow job.
Well, like I said,
it's my responsibility as a person who is an advocate for information to let you know that they're trying to hose you, telling you that it's all about you, when in actuality it has absolutely nothing to you. They're using you as a pawn.
Well, see,
and
we need to recognize that. Right. I understand what you're saying. I was just saying too. You know, I mean, just listen to your point of view on it right there and what you were saying, it makes sense. But then it kind of, to me, Tracy, and this is just how I see it, it kind of, what I hear you saying, it's kind of, and I think you had already said it earlier in your show today, that you're kind of for it. So it's kind of still like a one-sided point of view because you're kind of for it.
But you're missing my point. Reg, my name is on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't have to. If they want to call in, they can. But I don't have to. And if I believe that it is in your best interest to know one side, then it's for you to go research the other side. But I'm not going to let somebody come on here and lie to you in your face completely.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, that could go both sides.
And so if you want to know more about what we're saying, then you need to go and get on the Internet or go call somebody up and ask them some questions and say, listen, I heard this guy talking about this. Is it true? And let them lie to your face. But I don't have to go out and waste everybody's time.
Right, honey, but it's kind of late in the game. Now, I mean, what you got, saying makes a lot of sense. But
if it goes, if it goes down, they're coming back. I promise you, they're not going away. They're like a plague.
Yeah, well, I mean, the voting thing is today, though, so
Reg,
I still
Reg,
feel
it was
it's
gonna lie, it was lying. Reg, if it goes up, you're gonna find out what I said was true, and if it goes down, you're going to find out, or if they get their, let me put it this way, if they get their way, you're going to find out that what I said was true. And we're going to have the I Told You So blues on Tracy and Friends. And if not, I don't believe these people are going away because they didn't go away the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a choice on what they do. And so what you find out here, you should go research. If you don't like, you need to go find
well,
it out.
Well, my mind is already made for it personally, for myself, you know, in general and stuff. But I'm just saying, you know, maybe for others.
I'm not doing it.
It may not be that easy. Maybe they might not want to take the time to do this.
It's not my job. It's not my job.
I agree. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's just to me.
And it's not fair. And it's not fair. I got to take a break. It's not that it's not fair. It's just I'm not going to do it. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM
right.
AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
When you or a loved one faces a challenge, you need services that only a dedicated and heartfelt professional can provide. Caring Hearts of the Valley will help when family and friends are unable to provide the necessary care that you or your loved one truly needs. Caring Hearts of the Valley offers dependability, true peace of mind, and pure joy to make life easier and allow you to live it to the absolute fullest. Life care services range from companion care and hygiene assistance to 24/7 home care, as well as elder care, skilled nursing services, and more. Kid care from Caring Hearts of the Valley is compassionate, fully screened babysitter and nanny services, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Caring Hearts of the Valley, 6550 Seville Drive in Canfield, bringing more convenience, more dependability, and more peace of mind to you and your family. Call 330-531-6110, online at valleycaringhearts.com, and be sure to like us on Facebook and share with your friends. Caring Hearts of the Valley. Touching lives, encouraging hearts.
Ouch! My pants are on fire!
The solution? Cobbler's Corner, your fire safety headquarters. For working men and women, staying protected on the job is always first priority. At Cobbler's Corner, we have everything it takes to keep you safe. Red Wing, Timberland, and Carhartt safety toe and MetGuard boots. Wrangler fire-resistant shirts and pants are made with flame-resistant fabrics. Wrangler FR clothes are designed to self-extinguish, protecting you from burn injury on the job. Get the same Wrangler style and comfort you love and the protection you need. At Cobbler's Corner, we can protect you from head to toe. Protect yourself with Wrangler shirts and pants, Red Wing, Timberland, and Carhartt safety toe and MetGuard boots from Cobbler's Corner. Visit Cobbler's Corner on the corner of State Routes 14 and 46 in Columbiana, Ohio, and turn the ouch into ah.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers announced the Built Ford Tough Truck event. Lease a new 2013 F-150 Super Cab or Super Duty with 0% financing for 60 months. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
1-800-530-WSOM.
or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And in studio with me, I have Six and my ghost friend, who's not saying anything because he's sitting here weird with gauze in his mouth. And I got friends everywhere, but he's one of the best IT guys I know, and he makes me sound good, look good, and get things done. So I have to appreciate him very, very well. And things that I do here is because there are people. I've got great people sitting around me in the background making it happen. They really are.
We got good people all the way around us.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And I got a friend of mine. His name is Mike Chasney. And Mike Chasney is the – are you the public relations director for the Oil and Gas Association, Mike?
Bingo. That's me.
Uh-huh. And he's very, very versed in this industry, and he's a little bit all over the place. I can't go anywhere and them mentioning oil and gas, fracking, and or hydraulic fracturing that I do not see him. That is a meeting that it's unbelievable, no matter where I go. And I was so glad to see him last week, I believe it was, when the governor came up here and we were doing the dedication of the new processing plant.
Yeah, that was a great day. I mean, you heard it, you know, $375 million invested right there in Springfield Township, New Middletown. And just a great opportunity to put some more folks to work and refine the so much of the gas that's being taken out of the ground here. Just another great example. So important the governor came up for it. So, yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah. Got a call, 758. Your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy.
Yes.
Tracy, hi. Butch Taylor from 396.
Hi, Butch Taylor from 396. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Great to have you on.
Oh, nice to be on. Thanks for the show. Mike, how's everything? Nice to hear from you also.
You too, Butch. How are we doing today?
Doing real well. I just want to speak also about the oil and gas and all the positive things that have been coming into the area. You know, a lot of the stuff we've always heard, but you don't want to take for granted, and that's the job opportunities and the amount of success that has come from this. Just in our little world, we've expanded our training by, 90%, I think. I mean, that seems high, but I mean, but if you look back to where we started and you go back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we weren't even taking a first-year class in because of the economy was so bad, to where we're at today, where we have 90 new apprentices. We've pretty much added roughly, I think about 140, 150 new journeymen certifications because of the grants. And we're doing a diversity program, which is very important to our local, and it's something that we've worked very closely with Mike from UGA as well as API. And it's a positive thing overall, getting young people more involved in this industry and for a better success story in the long run.
Hey, Butch. Can I
yes.
come? Can I come be a part of? Can I get in the program?
Definitely, we'll get you under the hood, and we have a full-time welding instructor, Tracy, and you're more welcome to come in. And just if anything, just come to observe, and we'll get you a hood.
No,
we'll get
no.
you started.
No. I want to get. No. I want to go through the program.
Okay.
I want to become a welder. Do I have to get dirty?
Yes, that's part of the program.
You can make it happen.
We can make it happen, right.
You know, Tracy, we were talking a few minutes ago about how important it is to protect and preserve the environment. And one of the reasons why you don't hear about environmental incidents is because you got guys like Butch Taylor and his crews that are out there every day that are well-trained, that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're showing up drug-free. They're following the rules. They're paying attention to the regulations. And that's why things are going as well as they are, because you don't have folks that are just doing what they shouldn't be doing, running around, messing around, not paying attention. You've got guys that safety's number one and safety's number two and safety's number three, and you've got guys that are paying attention and working hard and getting the jobs done. And it's really a credit to Butch and Marty and Tim and those other guys over there that are making sure not only 396, but all the other locals around the valley that are getting work because they're doing a good job, they're meeting deadlines, and they're following the rules and regulations protecting the environment. And really, it's a tip of the hat to Butch and his guys.
Mike, thank you. And that is, there is a lot of hours spent and just in the education for training, job handling on the project. And this is a new industry for us, but we're growing and we're learning from it. And with the support that we've been receiving with our coalition groups and the companies that are coming in that is helping us and keeping us where we have to be at with this, it's been a really a great experience. And the one thing I wanted to always point out, you know, like you hear the other side say that this is an unsafe product. Well, I can honestly say with my 34-plus years in the construction industry and working many facets, many projects, many industrial sites, that this is one of the unbelievably most safe, the quality that is this being demanded, the type of the organization skills that's involved with it, the record keeping of every weld that is made and the process it's being tested at, it's second to none. It's very, very unbelievable, very important. And they understand the safety of it, too.
I appreciate what you guys are doing out there in Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, and I've got to take a break really quick because I'm at the top of the hour. But and Butch, if you can, stay on past my break. I don't know if you can or not, but I'm so very, very proud of what you guys have done and gotten behind this, and you got behind it financially. When I look at who paid for the mailings that I received, I got to say, you know, I got Plumbers and Pipe Fitters really were at the top of the list, making sure, trying to get me informed and trying to get my community informed about what was going on. And I want to thank you.
Thank you.
You and guys. And guys, what you guys do out there. And then I want to talk a little bit about what you guys do out there since I've got you back on, because I've had the opportunity to go out to their hall, and I'm really, really, really impressed at what you do there and how it's complementing and how the new classes are coming. And the process that you take people through so that they will have the information to do what's necessary so that they can be employed in this industry.
Very much.
And that, as well as others.
And that's why I wanted to come on, Tracy, is because there was a question was asked, how do we get into this? And I was wanting to explain that we are taking an apprenticeship class and the directions that we're going through with the welding programs. So I'd like very much to share that
not
with your audience.
Mike, you going to stay with us for a while?
I'm here.
Well, listen, hold on. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to pay some bills. I'm going to go do some news, and then we'll be right back. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Avoid the... Listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Your mobile device does it all, including take your favorite station wherever you go. Download the free iHeartRadio app. You can listen to this station anywhere. Wake up with the morning show you love. Plus, discover over 1,500 different live and local stations. iHeartRadio works on iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, and more. Download it free and join nearly 200 million others. Find out where you download apps or get started at iHeartRadio.com.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He didn't intend to hurt anyone but himself. That's what a grief-stricken brother of the man who opened fire last night at one of the nation's largest shopping malls says. Kevin Troop says his brother Richard had been troubled for a long time.
He just sadly decided to make self-indulgence by taking his own life publicly, and it's a tragedy to us all.
No one was hurt, but this retail analyst says the scare could convince Holiday avoid malls and do their buying online.
You could look at that, you know, 16 to 20% market share. That number could literally grow to 25 to almost 30% market share.
Marshall Cohen with the retail group NPD. A Senate committee's gotten an update on what's being done to fix the healthcare.gov website.
Although she told senators the healthcare.gov website is much improved, processing 17,000 applications an hour. Healthcare Chief Marilyn Taverner never did tell senators how many people had been able to get those applications approved. How many have been able to enroll through the system?
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol. President Obama welcomed business leaders to the White House to talk about immigration reform. He says they understand that improving the system will help them.
We're going to see people who are currently working here out of the shadows paying taxes and getting right with the law.
Opponents say President Obama's plan for amnesty, though, is not the right course of action. The mayor of Toronto now admitting he smoked crack. Rob Ford said he is not an addict. He was drunk at the time. It's election day. Voters are choosing governors in New Jersey and Virginia and mayors in many cities, including Minneapolis, where there are 35 candidates on the ballot just for that office. Dow is down 8 points. NASDAQ is up 3. Yeah. This is ABC
News. Two new stick welder partners and two new...
Marsha's identity thief wasn't a stranger. It was her best friend, her roommate. She put Marsha close to $100,000 in debt. Marsha ended up losing her home. A few years later, it almost happened again. But this time, she was armed with the proactive protection of LifeLock Services. Shockingly, she again knew the thief trying to steal her identity. It was her son's friend attempting to get a loan in Marsha's name. With LifeLock's help, Marsha was able to stop the fraudulent loan before it could damage her finances and good name. Marsha found out the hard way that identity theft has become so complex, you simply can't find it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't make the mistake of thinking identity theft will never happen to you. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. No one can prevent all identity theft.
Hallmark says it's what you buy when you care enough to send the very best. Well, maybe not in this case. Some employees would probably beg to differ.
Hallmark has announced it's eliminating 250 jobs because of $1 million in lost revenue. As a result of the cuts, the company is eliminating its party wear business.
Hallmark will no longer make party plates, paper cups, napkins, table covers, and party favors.
The company found people were buying lower-cost paper party wear in discount stores and, as a result, not spending the money on their products. Some people will lose their jobs, while others will be assigned different positions within the company. Mike Phillips, ABC News, Kansas City.
A driver who posted an Internet video of himself circling Manhattan in just over 24 minutes may have to permanently give up his car. Police asked a judge to order Adam Tang to forfeit the 2006 BMW Z4, cite a law that allows him to seize vehicles that are used to commit a crime. He was charged with reckless driving. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Go on, sweetie. Jump.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
Where they're at today.
and Progressive Clinic.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making
the
visiting experience a good one.
In this thing at all.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Welcome
to Afternoons with Tracy
because
and Friends,
now they're working as
a local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 7 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and I have Six in studio with me, and I've got Mike Chasney and Butch Taylor, actually, on the phone. Mike Chasney, he is from the Oil and Gas Association, and Butch Taylor is from the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. What is your local?
Local 396.
Local 396?
Yeah.
Didn't know that off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Butch, you've been on with me before. It's been a while, so you got to come back. It's time.
Appreciate it, yes. Would love to.
Yeah, we got to do this again because this is important to our community and it's important to people at large, and they need to know what's available out there. And you heard me say, how do I get involved? So tell me what's going on over in your industry. And your industry is larger than just welders. I don't think people understand that.
It is. The UA, United Association, consist of a very diversified group. We are plumbers, pipe fitters, welders, air conditioning, refrigeration and heating, steam fitters, pipe fitters, all the whole collective group, and sprinkler fitters. Within our organization, we train just strictly in the industrial, commercial, residential. We're involved as anything from what you've talked about with the grand opening when the governor came in to cut the ribbon for the cryogenic plants. There's two cryogenic plants that we're working on, to the VMSTAR, Valric Star project, the industrial, the bigs of General Motors, those things too, the Racino that's happening, the new additions to the hospitals, any of the strip malls, commercial work, the malls that are involved with, to the schools and then to the residential side. We are a very broad group of workers. We have residential like commercial apprenticeship programs as well as within the building trades that gets into the big stuff, the big things that you see in the valley. Our applications that we're taking we're doing it once a month from starting from September all the way through April, where we will have here at the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union Hall, which is located at 493 Bev Road, building number 3 in Boardman, Ohio. And it starts the third Wednesday of every month, which would this month be November 20th, and then December 18th, and follows the January 15th, the 11th, March 19th, and then April 16th. Why we're doing that is separating them bi-monthly instead of bi-weekly, is so that we capture a big market of young people that want to get into it, into the program, and it's just not just taking an okay for 1 week, and then one that week, then we start separating them out. We try to get as big a group as possible that want to make the application. And like I said, there's many ways of getting into the programs, and we're here to help as many young people that want to get involved in it.
Tell us a little bit about requirements. Tell me what I need to know my show, a lot of people are a little bit older, so we're looking at their children or family members that they're going to try to nudge them into. What are the requirements for me to come? Female, males, aptitude, what do I need to know Do I have to be a rocket scientist? Do I have to have a degree? Do I have to go to a trade school before I come over to you guys? What do I have to do?
Well, some of the trade schools is a help, but it's not a must. First thing, you must be 18 years of age and hold either a high school, be a high school graduate, or GED. You need to bring your transcript of your grades and be able to physically be able to perform work in a trade and have a valid driver's license. Be a resident of Mahoning, Clubian, and Trumbull County. And then the test, it will be an aptitude test and then a personal interview. But the one thing that we tell everybody, if you come in with a desire to want to be here, your good work ethics, show up on time, be there every day, you're going to be very successful in this business. Show a very positive attitude toward the program.
Okay.
Okay.
So, how long does the program last? How long am I in the program? What kind of commitment do I need to make?
It's a 5-year program, and it's, you know, first year through fifth year. You're working during the day and going to school at night 2 times out of the week. And we offer additional classes, let's say, whether it be in the HVAC plumbing license or within the welding programs, that will enhance even a higher level of earning power. And that's the thing that you have to look at, is after the 5 years, you're going to earn as much as you would have in a college degree. And Marty Loney coined something that I kind of, I'm going to use. He had a 45-45-2 rule. If you went to college, you're going to accumulate $45,000 worth of debt. If you make an application to our into our program, it's only going to cost you $45. And through your course of your history, you're going to make over $2 million in wages. And that's very part of it, is that your net value when you for your wages is going to be as a professional person, because you're earning a professional degree in a sense. You're building trades card. It has that avenue where then if you enhance that even more, you can get a college degree, because there's articulation agreements that apply to it that we're working on in order that when you graduate from your apprenticeship program, thanks to the congressman, we're going to try to get where you can earn an associate degree as well.
And can I jump in here and talk about degrees and crafts?
Yes.
And the similarities and the differences. And Mike, if you want to jump in with this, I understand that, you know, we all want to have, you know, we've been indoctrinated to believe that degrees are superior than crafts. And I have come to the resolve that that is not true in any way, shape, or form of that manner. This morning I have I called a plumbing company who makes fixtures or furnishings and fixtures, because I was having a problem with my tub. And so I can't turn my shower head to my bathtub. So I can't take a bath. I have to take a shower because I can't flip the switch. All the degrees in the world will not get that switch to move.
And I'm curious. You don't get it to move? This fellow will come over and fix that for us.
Well,
are you following?
I was the dumb welder.
I call a plumber.
We need Marty or Tim to do that.
You know, I gotta go call somebody who has a specialty craft in a whole other field that is just as cerebral and you have to be just as intelligent, if not more, because not only do you work with your brains, but you work with your hands. And I've found out that plumbers and craftsmen, people who are welders, just because they get dirty doesn't mean that they're thoughtless and they don't have a brain upstairs. They are some of the smartest people that I know, yet they get very, very dirty in the jobs that they do, and they are very, very good at it. And when I need something, I don't need someone that has a white collar. I really need somebody who has a blue shirt, who doesn't mind, you know, stopping things, unplugging things, and fixing things.
Well, thank you for the compliment. Thank you. Yes.
I mean, am I wrong? I'm serious about this. I promise you, all the white shirts and all the suit and ties will not fix my plumbing.
Well, you know, it's an art just like everything else, and it's a profession that you're trained at, and many of the young people here, and any of the members take a lot of pride in what they do for their living. And it shows, as what Mike said, with the commitment to safety, the hard work that they're doing at night, and even when they come after they earn their journeyman's card, they're still continuing their education to improve themselves on their own time. So thank you for those compliments, and we'll get somebody out there to fix that. If you didn't get that fixed the first time, we'll put something in it for you.
Have you ever noticed that when you call me, I always have an issue?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed that. The last time it was my water heater. Now, you know, now I'm having it's all in the same vein. It's all in a plumbing issue. But I'm just serious, and I think sometimes we have downgraded the craft, and we need to lift those crafts back up. People that need a CDL, truck drivers are very, very important to America.
If you got it, come on a truck.
You know, it's amazing what a truck driver can do with that big of a rig, and they put it in such a small place. I would have taken out half the building and every car that's around me if I have to do half the stuff that these guys can do. And they put it in with such great proficiency. It's amazing, amazing what they can do.
Are you aware of Mike Rowe's new initiative that he's doing? Have you seen that?
I am, and I think I commend him highly. It's, you know, he wants to get young people or get, you know, I keep on saying young people, but get America back working with their hands again. And yes, definitely. I think more people should be involved with that.
And I do. I don't think people understand. I mean, we have given the craftsmen a disservice.
Absolutely.
You know, when I look out there at those rigs and when we were out at the production, the new processing plant out in New Middletown, that just looking at that was impressive.
What? Heavy equipment operator, that's an art form.
There was a lot of heavy equipment being set at the cryogenic plant. And I point out that a tremendous amount of hours were put in there. Not one personal injury, and everything was done with a safe manner. And that there shows a lot of team effort, because not only the heavy operating engineer that's in there operating it, but he has in his hands, if one slip up, there could be something terribly would happen, and he's got all those people working together, and they're signaling him, and he's using their judgment in order to set that equipment. And that was well noted in there. And that was a nice ribbon cutting, because you had both the CEO and the vice president give accolades to many people, as well as with the building trades. And the governor and everybody had talked, as you said, Tracy and Mike. It was a great day for
it really
for,
was
for event.
I think one of the best lines was when the gentleman from Local 66 said, "Hey, if you can dream it, we can build it."
That's right.
Tracy, that absolutely builds upon what you two folks are saying. Is you can't have one without the other. And have folks that work on both sides of the issue, people working with their hands and the other skill sets that are needed. And, Tracy, you're absolutely right. It's definitely a cultural thing. But this is a great example of what can happen. I mean, you've got – just in the Valley, you got the chairman of the Democratic Party, you got the president of the Chamber of Commerce, you got a Democrat congressman, you got a Republican congressman. Do you see what can happen when people could come together and work on these issues? You got industry, you got labor, you got chamber – the bipartisan effort to help bring the Valley back. Energy is certainly a big part of that. That's something we're very proud of, and that fits in exactly, Tracy and Butch, what you guys are talking about, getting people those skills, putting them to work, diversifying that economy, and making it all happen. And we're just so, so proud to be a part of that, and it's just exciting to be involved.
Yeah, it's nice to see when everybody works together. That's the most important part. Well put.
And it really is. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing, and I am so proud. And when I look at, even, you know, we don't always agree politically on a lot of things, but people need to pay attention to when you have Dave Beatrice and Mark Monroe, Tom Humphreys and Tracy Winbush, the unions, the plumbing, the pipe fitters, and you have all these businesses and all this labor, and we all are, you know, you got me and Jalata Aslam actually agreeing on something. You really need to take notice that must be a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen every day of
the
week.
The people you listed, I mean, they can't even agree if the sky is blue or green, and yet they agree this is a good thing.
Doesn't happen
just
often.
Example. It does.
I mean,
it really doesn't.
The stars don't align too often to get us all on the same page at the same time saying, okay, let's come together, let's put down our differences because this is too big to fail.
Exactly.
And what these people are doing is that they're playing games with you. And so when we tell you to go out and vote, make sure that you vote no today. It is because there is a concert of people who do not think alike most of the time coming together saying, this is bad, and this will hurt everyone.
I mean, if you've listened to the radio ads, this is a consortium of very strange bedfellows. It really is. So it must be good for the community.
Well, like you said, 2014, 2015 is going to be a pivotal year for the Mahoning Valley. And they'd be ashamed if Youngstown wasn't part of it because of some stupid bill that was able to get through.
Well, people just need to look south. I listen to the radio station out of Wheeling, and their laborers local has doubled in size in the last 12 months. And my son-in-law's father is from Parkersburg, and Parkersburg is booming because of the oil and gas industry. I mean, it's coming here if we don't shoot ourselves in the foot.
True.
And that goes back to what I said. We got outsiders trying to get us to take a bullet while they sit up and watch us bleed.
Mm-hmm. And they're from outside the area.
They ship them in here. They do all of this. They fund it from somewhere else. They don't live here. They don't play here. They brainwash a couple local people. And then all of a sudden, they want you all to drink the Kool-Aid.
Right.
And what we're saying is when you really look at the people that have come together for this initiative, it's just not – that's not a normal set of circumstances. So we need to pay attention to that.
It'll probably never happen again. And we need to – I mean, I don't know what else you can bring these folks together on, but this energy is such an important issue, as we talked about before. The people that are working to provide it, the people that are working that use it, and the folks that are in the valley, particularly that are being put back to work. And you got everybody under the sun who thinks this is a good idea. And like I mentioned before, you know, is it perfect? Well, no. Is it evil? Well, that's not the case either. And so if we continue to work with these coalitions and community partners, with industry and everybody else, continue to push the valley, advocate for Youngstown, advocate for Warren and Trumbull and Columbia and all these other parts that really are – have been waiting for that dare to be great moment, and this is it. And on Monday was a great example, opening up that processing plant. And Butch talked a little bit ago about how you had the whole thing, $375 million invested, and not one personal injury. So you can see how this can all happen, and it can be a good thing for this area.
I mean, I bet there's a lot of people in the area don't realize there's a brand new electrical generating plant, gas-fired electrical generating plant, going in Carrollton, Ohio.
No.
Carrollton, Ohio. We're talking a town the size smaller than Salem. And they're getting a brand new electrical generating plant.
Great example.
Right. All new development. That's what
absolutely.
We need.
Mm-hmm. And it's bringing people in. It's making local people wealthy. And when I say wealthy, they may not be rich, but they're getting a lot more income than they had.
Well, that
I
is
mean,
true. There's
yeah,
Carroll, there's a lot of farmers that – yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Carroll County, Ohio, is slated to be the richest county in Ohio.
I heard the first Bentley was just registered in Carroll County. Now, that's headline news right there.
Yeah, I'm from Carroll County originally. I'm from Carroll County originally. I can tell you that. Absolutely.
Somebody bought a Bentley.
Somebody bought a brand new John Deere down there. When I was a kid, it was a big deal.
So a Bentley is a real big deal.
Yeah. You get Farmer John running on them fields in a Bentley, somebody's going to take notice. We haven't talked about that, but you get, you know, these folks aren't going to pick up and move to Naples. That money's staying here.
Yeah.
You know, Bill and Betty Buck are going to send their kid to college now. They're going to fix the barn. They're going to buy a new truck. That money is going to stay here. And that's what's so important to be talking about.
That's what I was going to say. As a lot of those farmers, they struggled for so many years. Now they have some equity in the land, and then it makes their life a lot easier.
Yep.
Like we talked about here, you know, we struggled for a lot of years just trying to make a living. Now the opportunities are huge. You don't want to ever forget that.
And that means something, and I don't think we understand that means something. That means more than what we think. And we need to open up our eyes and become, have discernment and be aware of the elements that are fighting against us. And we need to find out if they're a friend or foe and what's their motivation for trying to stop something.
And for example, Carroll County, because I just had a meeting with them. They're trying to put their school buses on compressed natural gas. I just had a meeting with them a while back. And they're already looking forward because they realize this is a boom, and they're already looking forward how, going back to the diversification, how to diversify so that there is no bust on the other side of this. And that can be done here in the Valley, too.
Absolutely. Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Turns out you can use the Internet to get a free quote on state minimum car insurance from Safe Auto. Just go to safeauto.com and see for yourself. The best part? It's quick and easy. You can also call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe, spend less.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. There are many reasons why Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio, like attractive leasing and the locally built EcoBoost engine, giving you both power and efficiency. Visit drive1ohio.com for details.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Intelligent, energetic, controversial.
Dramatic last stand of the fugitive ex-cop Christopher Dorner.
America's correspondent, Geraldo Rivera.
I know people, there are lots of people who sympathize with his cause, but to sympathize with what he did, no, I don't think so.
This is Geraldo on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Tracy and Friends. This is Sticks talking for Tracy. And we're on WSOM 600 AM. And if you want to talk to us, the number is 347-945-5229.
Did you say the Sticks talking for Tracy?
This is Sticks talking for Tracy.
That sounds like I'm a dummy sitting on your lap and you're a ventriloquist. He's old man.
No.
Who's on the phone? Tomorrow you're going to do this on, on your own.
Yeah, right? I know. Tomorrow I'm on my own.
You're on your own tomorrow. You might as well get used to it.
Yep. We got Mike from the Ohio Department or Ohio Association of Gas.
Oil and gas.
Oil and gas. And we got Butch from the Pipefitters Local.
What's the number?
35.
396.
396.
Because
there's
the
that,
Chevy
Butch.
Engine.
Yep. Big block.
So now we equate plumbers and pipefitters to engine blocks or what?
Yeah. Well, you know, not necessarily, but it's a good way to remember things.
And I said that I was going to do this today. Today is Election Day. And I'm hoping that you guys will all go out and vote. I mean, I was number 30, and I was like 1130. Hey, guys, you got to, you know, I know, it's a pain in the butt, and you had 35 days to vote, and you didn't vote, and I know that we have become dumbed down when it comes to voting, but, you know, somebody got to light a fire under your tail to realize that your local politics are more important almost than your presidential politics and your federal politics and your state. I mean, you come up for the governor and the president, but you think everything else is like hogwash? That's why your schools are the way they are.
Well, if you don't pay attention to your local all politics is local. It really is. And your school board is that's who decides what your kids are taught. And if you're not paying attention to that, how do you complain about the outcome of your kids?
You don't.
Kids?
I mean, I don't understand. People don't want to. Why is it that people don't want to vote? What's going on here?
I don't know. Apathy. I'm good now, so I don't have anything. You know, what I'm saying is a general knowledge. I just think that if you can generate interest and talk about the issues, pros and cons, and get people get motivated, I just think that starts at an early age. I remember when I was young, my grandmother was very much involved in politics, and she was a precinct committee person, and at the time, she'd pay me $5 to go around and put the leaflets out in her precinct and do all that stuff, and then we'd sneak off and get pizza with it. But those are the things you're involved with. I think young people have to get more involved with that and get involved with the community, whether it's with in the school districts or diversity programs or your community or whatever. Just get involved. Make it a better place for everybody. I think that's the most important thing. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And then that generates a lot of interest.
Yeah, when I was a young man, I was pretty apathetic about politics until I started realizing how much it affected my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to bring these kids up to make them understand that politics directly affects your wallet.
Well, like you said, local government is the dividing to a lot of things, and having a voice, and that's important. Like we're talking about with the bill that's been the community bill. I mean, these are things that will affect the future of what we're trying to accomplish, and it could all go away as fast as it's here, and you got to continue to stay very closely as a whole. like you said, that coalition group, even after this one goes away. It would be nice for that group to stick together and work on things, whether it's educating or job growth or whatever. It's a very broad diversity group.
Have you ever noticed, Butch, that you and I always come together when on political issues when they are community-oriented?
Yes.
Ever since we've met each other, on the Capitol campaign or for the school district. And it's always been community issues that are going to impact our future.
I mean,
do you ever notice that?
I do, and it's important because we care about where we live at and what we do. And I agree with you. And like you said, if you put everything on the table and you look at it, there's a lot more things we agree on than disagree on. And I would say that percentage is about 80-85%. So why worry about the 10 or 15% that is out there? You know, whether it's 85 or 90% we agree on. Let's forget that 10%. Let's move forward with all the good stuff. Be better world we live in. So what I propose. I propose that after this bill is defeated, we continue the group and continue to push positive things for the community because we get a lot more stuff out here.
I'm going to be talking with Tony, but we were talking about that the other day. I want to get with Mike. I think people need to be educated on what and so that we can begin to sing our own song, tell our own story, and to get the word out so that people feel included. And this is not an exclusive industry. It is an inclusive industry. It just has to be diversified because there's a lot of support agencies. When I look, and even if it's nothing but having a food truck that goes out to the different wells to allow the guys to eat.
Right.
Well, I want to tell everybody in the Mahoning Valley this. From where I come from and where I grew up, if you guys don't want these jobs, Canton and Akron would love to have them.
But it's not even about Canton and Akron. What it is it's about people. Let me finish. And what's happening is they're going around lying to people. If they lie here, they lied in Pittsburgh, and it affected the Pittsburgh business.
Allegheny County, yes.
Correct. The problem is they keep on being so very, very disingenuous along the way.
Well, we touched on this earlier, and what people need to understand is this is being funded from people who want to hurt your entire nation. And I mean, that's the real thing. That's the real thing that would make every God-fearing American or patriotic American, should make every patriotic American angry.
People don't see it.
That's hard to believe. We need to get that word out. I don't rule that against that, but you know that this place is being funded by Russians and Middle Eastern countries in order to prohibit this country to moving forward. Anybody that that is just total. That's just unbelievable. I don't know the words I want to say, but that's there. That's the first time I heard that, and that should be referenced a lot more than what it is now. Then,
Alabama, your mic is on. You hit the button. You did.
Yeah.
You hit the button.
Hey, Butch, there's a documentary called Frack Nation. And if you could get that, if you could get a hold of that and show it at your union hall, it explains what's the power structure behind this anti-fracking movement.
Okay.
Butch, I've got a couple copies of that. It really talks about how Gazprom and the big state-owned gas company over there in Russia talks about some of the Middle Eastern thing, and it kind of tracks it from overseas to here and into other places across the world too. It talks about some of the international impacts, talking about some of the national impacts and some of the national groups that are out. Very well researched documentary, very well cited documentary. Truthland is great. This one's great as well too.
That's a lot of hypocrisy. I mean, right then and there. I was at Warren. We were the counter to when they had the protest when 360 came in. And the one thing I did notice is that they didn't arrive in on electric cars and bicycles. They came in the 60 versions of buses. And most of the people that are within that industry that are doing the most vocal for Act Three Mahoning Valley, they're generations from steel industry. And what I want to say is that they had their opportunities to make a living. Don't deny us our opportunities. And that's what I would like to put out there.
And as I said a little bit earlier, you know, if you look at the legislation, the oversight in Ohio, I can't speak for anywhere else, but if you look at what they do here, they've done a very, very good job of making sure that it's secure. And a lot of people want to talk about, well, it'll contaminate the water. And I don't think I didn't know it until, you know, getting a better education and having people come on talking about this, how much further this goes down past the water table.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thousands of feet.
Thousands of feet past. We drill for water, and we go, how many feet did we go down? A couple hundred?
100, 150, 200 feet.
And we get water. Mm-hmm. We tap water, and then it's there.
My water well's 35 feet deep.
Is that all?
That's it.
This goes down way past that.
Yeah.
About 9,000 feet down.
Wow.
How many?
About 9,000.
Oh, that's a little bit past 35.
350,
feet.
Yeah.
That's a little bit further down.
And another thing that is lost on people, because the oil industry's kind of become part of the scenery in Ohio, is Ohio has 100 years, more than 100 years actually, of dealing with the oil industry. This is nothing new to the state of Ohio. Ohio is the original oil-producing state.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw out a name that you probably have never heard of, John D. Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy you've probably never heard of. But, made the oil industry pretty big in Ohio. And at one point, for a short period of time, Ohio was the leading oil producer in the world, thanks to guys like John D. Rockefeller. So we have a long and very rich history of this. But over the last 4 or 5 years, folks have just started to pay attention to it because it's grown. More folks are working in the industry. They're supplying the industry. Folks in the industry are shopping at their hotels, their restaurants, their diners, things of that nature. More conversations in the media. So it's on people's radar, even though it's been here for 100-plus years. What that provides is an opportunity for the industry to be out in the communities, to be open, honest, and transparent about what's going on, what's happening, answer those types of questions. And to the extent that we need to continue to work on that, we will. The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. And we're going to keep talking to folks and answering questions and addressing concerns. And I think the big concern that we have today that we keep talking about is the Charter Bill of Rights that's in Youngstown. It was defeated in May by 15%. It's on the ballot again. And for anybody just, you know, tuning in or calling in or checking out, I'd encourage, I know Tracy and Butch and others would encourage, flip this thing down again, send the message that these jobs, this investment isn't wanted in the Valley, it's wanted in Youngstown. This is a good thing. It's diversifying Youngstown's economy. It's putting people back to work. It's getting Tracy opportunity to talk about economic development. It's getting Butch apprenticeships. It's just a good thing in general, and we need to keep sending the message that it's welcomed here in Youngstown and the Valley in general.
Can you go back to this oil and gas in the state of Ohio, or oil? We were number one at one time.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I never knew that.
We keep moving west, and we discovered oil down in Texas and Oklahoma and other places around the world. But depending on who you ask, you know, Pennsylvania and Oil City and Titusville and a couple of other places. But right about that same time, Ohio and Rockefeller and others were really getting excited about discovering oil and making it, getting it out of the ground, getting it to market through train cars, through barrels, down the river, and getting it to market. So, yeah, it was very early, I guess that'd be the turn of two centuries ago. That was the hotbed of activity till Spindletop down in Texas really took over. But for quite a while, Ohio, Pennsylvania was the place to be for oil.
Do you know how many people don't know that?
Most people don't know that.
People don't realize John D. Rockefeller built a wooden oil pipeline to Pittsburgh.
Do you guys realize how many people do? I mean, really don't. When you mentioned Oil City, you know, duh, but, you know, we just don't correlate oil city with oil.
People don't realize the first oil well in the United States was only 60 feet deep.
Was it in Ohio?
No, that was in Oil City.
Oh, because I had no idea. I thought this was new. I mean, I know that people have gas wells, but I never paid attention to, you know, us having any, you know, gas wells. And they say that we've had gas and oil here for a long time, but they couldn't figure out how to get it out to where it was going to be feasible and cost effective. But I don't think really we understand that. And, you know, they've been drilling in Texas forever. And
drilling in Ohio first.
But we didn't know that. And that goes for when I talk about the undereducation and the lack of knowledge that most people have. Because, you know, those of us think we know everything, like me, there's nothing that I'm not supposed to know. And when you tell me something that I don't know, that I don't know it, that means most people have no clue.
Well Mike, how deep was that Bria sand, the very first wells in Ohio? That wasn't very deep at all, was it?
Well, that was pretty shallow. I mean, you're definitely less than 1,000 feet. I mean, you're pretty shallow.
I mean, if you go down through Knox Township, Columbiana County, you'll see these little tripod-looking things in people's front yards. Those are actually oil wells from the late 1800s. And they're still here. As a matter of fact, I know one farm down there that has one of those little wells in the front yard. They're still heating a house off of it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It looks like a lawn ornament.
You know, the first offshore drilling rig was here in Ohio, in Grand Lake St. Mary's.
I didn't know that either.
Got a long and rich history, proud history. And that's what's so frustrating for the industry now is to be dealing with these folks that are kind of Johnny-come-lately. Oh, hey, I just learned about it. I did some research, as I do air quotes, and this is all bad. We need to stop it. Well, let's slow down for just a minute and have an adult conversation about the industry. And I said a little while ago, is it perfect? Well, no. But is it evil either? No, it's not. So if we can have an intelligent conversation about the risks, the reward, the benefits, the challenges, we should do that. And unfortunately, the Charter Bill of Rights is not that conversation.
That is just so amazing to me. There are some, I mean, I had no idea.
But look at the callers that we have that call in that don't know that the earthquake was caused by a disposal well and not a drilling well, an oil well.
What's a disposal well?
A disposal well is where they get – go ahead, Mike.
No, it's a class – there are five classes of injection wells. Basically, it's instead of pulling something up, you put something down. And in Ohio, by law since 1983, all produced water or oil-filled water waste has to go down in class two injection well. So the incident that everybody knows of back in New Year's Day a couple years ago, there was an overpressurized class two injection well that was drilled into the wrong formation. It was a granite formation. Granite does not absorb water like a sandstone formation, so thus creating some seismic events, or also known as earthquakes, on the surface. And so you can't put it brine or oil-filled waste or frack fluid down a sink, down a sewer, into a river, in the pond. You can't leave it out and about. You either have to recycle it and use it on your next frack job or dispose of it properly with a Class 2 wastewater injection well. There's about 150,000 some of them across the country and a little over 200 of them here in Ohio, a lot of them up and down the eastern part of the state.
Now, what percentage of the frack fluid can they reclaim and reuse? Do you know, Mike?
It's different from well to well. It's you know, how long is your lateral, how deep is your vertical, but it's pretty small. Most of it stays down. It stays down the well.
Okay, so what they're disposing of is just a small percentage of what it actually takes to fracture the well.
Correct, and it basically comes up over the life of a well when you bring up those hydrocarbons, those oil and gas molecules, that wastewater comes up with it. You get a lot at first, and then you get a little over time. Basically, you have to separate it. You put your oil in the tank, you put your gas in the pipeline, you collect your water, you either recycle it or you have to dispose of it. Some townships do use brine. You can make brine, salt water. Some can use brine for dust control or ice control. But the law in Ohio is you cannot use Marcellus shale brine or Utica shale brine, any of the brine that comes up from producing those wells, on roads for dust and ice control. Only your typical brine that you can make in certain wells, or the brine that comes up in your old traditional wells. It's very effective for ice control.
I have to ask, because remember, I'm a girl, guys, because I don't have a clue. You get a pass, right?
Of course you get a pass.
Okay. So
you get a pass.
Brine is that salt water that you put on the roads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how harmful is it? Because, you know, if we put it on our roads, we just, you know, as we, I guess they call it treating the roads for winter.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it the same brine, or is it more chemical-based, or is it what? Because, you know, I've heard some conversation that, you know, this is a different chemical, salt chemical, than the brine. It's not like, you know, but is it all the same? And why aren't we recycling that for the roads if it's that safe and since we're using it anyhow?
Well, we do, and you have to think about it like this. It's actually saltier than ocean water, so it's real high salinity. So is it safe? Yes. Should you drink it? No. Should you water your plants with it? No. But if you're going to put it on dirt roads, control the dust, it'll work very effectively. It's safe. If you want to put it on your highways or byways for ice control in the wintertime, very safe, very practical, very inexpensive. ODOT and other townships all over the place use it. But you have to think about a high salinity. It's very salty, or saltier than ocean water.
Well, it's saltier than, because salt, I mean, it's saltier than ocean water. And you know, salt is a bad thing, you know, it's like ham. But we love it. It's like salt, you know, salt and vinegar, potato chips. So, you know, can we recycle it for roads?
Well, you can recycle it, but the industry, our industry, the oil and gas industry, does recycle it because you can use it on different frac jobs. You can take out what are called TDS, total dissolved solids, and basically use it again. Think of brine this way. Think of it as old ocean water. As you know, the whole planet, particularly, you know, this part, you know, was covered by oceans. And so when all those old plants and animals and dinosaurs and fishies and whatnot would die and decay, and then layers of rock would build upon that, well, when you're drilling down 6, 7, 9,000 feet, you're drilling into that later. That's why those hydrocarbons are there. The hydrocarbons are also there with that old, very old, ancient ocean water. That's why it's so salty. So that's when it comes back up. You don't really do much with it except put it back down where it came from. But you can use, stick to the state of Ohio, I think the number is about 2% is used on, you know, roads for dust and ice control.
Okay. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm talking with Mike Chasney and Butch Taylor. Stix is in studio, and today is Election Day, and we're having a conversation because there is a charter amendment on the Youngstown ballot. And the charter amendment is very, very disingenuous in what it's saying in a lot of ways. It's not being funded by anything local, and there is an ulterior agenda and motive behind it. And outside of that, you know, you always talk about, but it's just bad language, bad bill. It's unenforceable, but it can cause your image and your reputation of being a city that does not work with business to overshadow economic development. Pretty much, that's in a nutshell. And you never want any business to think that where they're coming is a place that you don't want business to come to. That's not the image you want to project. You want them to come. You want to open your doors because people that bring in business bring in jobs, and they bring in a stable economy. And what Youngstown's needed for the last 45 to 50 years is an industry that's going to come in, that's manufacturing, that's going to have stability, that's going to have diversity. And as the governor, and I think Mike made reference to it earlier, as he said when he was here last week, diversity in education is going to be the key to the success of what's going on here. And it is
that's
up
how
to
you
us
keep
as,
things sustainable.
Absolutely. And if you learn from your mistakes with the steel mills, what we did not do with the steel mills is what we did was we locked everything out instead of diversifying while they were here. We wanted to be a steel town and a steel town only. We let them have their way completely, and we did not think about the future that they would actually leave, because I don't think anyone thought that they would ever go away. And when when Black Monday came along in 77 and the steel mills shut down, it was a very, very dark day. And we have lived in the Rust Belt from that time forward. Now it looks as though the rust is eroding, mm-hmm. and we have opportunity right now to do a better job, bring manufacturing back, and God has given us a second chance because he's put it right under our feet. It is up to us to take what God has given us and to increase our blessing, multiply it, and make it productive. That's how it works. And with that said, I'm hoping that those of you who are going out to vote in the city of Youngstown, that you have to vote no. I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, but before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about it. I've got about 3 minutes before I go to break. Mike, let's talk about the ballot language, because the answer is no.
Well, for those of you that show up at the polls today in Youngstown, you got the mayor issuing a couple of other things, but the Charter Bill of Rights, as I think you referred to it, as a novel. It's probably the longest thing you're going to read on the ballot today. And I certainly encourage you to read through it, understand what you're voting on, but realize that what it's trying to do is supersede state law. State law says that the Ohio Department of Natural Resources has sole and exclusive authority to regulate the permitting and spacing and everything else regarding the oil and gas industry. So it's trying to usurp state law. That aside, what it's trying to do is send a message by saying we don't want hydraulic fracturing, pad development, pipeline, compressor stations, refineries, gas processing plants. We don't want any of that in Youngstown. We don't want you to haul water, haul brine, haul aggregate, make pipe, do anything involved with the industry. Unfortunately, for them, what they're trying to do is regulate the oil and gas industry. They can't do that, but what they are then do is send a message to all of the other industries that are regulated at different parts that really going to cause a problem. They're trying to cause a problem for me, for the oil and gas industry. They're not. It's really an issue for all the other businesses that are in town, and that's why you see the Mahoning Valley Coalition for Job Growth and Investment coming on board saying, hey, this is bad for business, this is bad for the jobs, this is bad for labor, bad for chamber. We need to vote no. So when you read through that entire and the entire ballot, the language is on there, all the charter, read through it. It's about a page and a half, 2 pages. When you get to the end, I encourage you to vote no. And I know the last one was one of those where you kind of, a yes means a no, and no means a yes, and people are saying a yes is a yes, and no is a, it's very confusing. Just recommend that you vote no, because it's what's important for the Valley, it's what's important for Youngstown.
You know, anytime that you have to, like, confuse people, you just ought to say no.
That's the tact that they've taken, on this campaign, that they put it up last time. It was defeated by 15 points. They mixed a bunch of language up. They changed some things around, and they're trying to confuse folks so that they'll vote yes this time. And it's just not a good way to run business. It's not a good way to run politics. It's games. It's a politics of distraction. And the folks in Youngstown are smart enough to see through that. They did that last time. They're going to see it this time. And it's going to go down resoundingly. And at the end of the day, this industry, these jobs, these investments are going to be welcome here in the state of Ohio and in Youngstown.
Well, listen, guys, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. That number is 330-781-9600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
The
Tracy.
Home Builders and Remodelers Association invites you home for
hey,
the holidays with their
Tracy.
Home and Holiday Show, November 8th through the 10th
what?
At the Eastwood Expo Center in Niles. CHBA contractors with ideas for fixing up your home, as well as a variety of crafters ready to help you decorate and kick off your holiday shopping. It's unlike any holiday show you've ever seen, and it's absolutely free. Sponsored by Baird Brothers Pine Hardwoods and Lowe's. The HBA Home and Holiday Show at the Eastwood Expo Center, November 8th through the 10th. Great ideas for your home and the holidays. Brought to you in part by Newstalk 600, WSOM.
If you even think you may be in danger,
danger of foreclosure, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling today at 866-687-6322 or visit MortgageHelpNow.org. Again, that's 866-687-6322 or visit MortgageHelpNow.org.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
To discuss improved pilot training.
Pilot error is blamed for a deadly crash near Buffalo, New York. Colgan Air Flight 3407 stalled in mid-flight. Kevin Shoup knew his brother was troubled, but he had no idea he was planning to end his life the way he did.
This was something that none of us saw coming, so we're not sure exactly what caused him to do this, and we're all devastated.
Richard Shoup opened fire last night at New Jersey's Garden State Plaza, one of the nation's biggest shopping malls. He was found in a remote part of the center with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. No one was hurt, but a retail analyst says it may have scared a lot of holiday shoppers away from the mall.
I'm a bit concerned about how the industry is going to handle this to get the consumer to be comfortable again to get out there and shop.
Marshall Cohen at Retail Group NPD says shoppers may decide to do more of their buying online. First Tuesday in November is Election Day. Voters in Virginia and New Jersey are choosing governors today, while there are mayoral elections in a number of cities, including New York, Boston, Detroit, and in Minneapolis, where there are 35 people on the ballot just for that race. The mayor of Toronto has admitted that he smoked crack cocaine. Rob Ford had denied using the drug until today.
I've made mistakes. All I can do now is apologize and move on.
Ford, however, denied being an addict, saying that he was in a drunken stupor at the time. The Dow is down 21 points. This is ABC News.
You've had 60-some-odd years to prepare for this moment. 60-some-odd years that added up to a squishy, squashy backyard squirt gun battle. And it's here. In this healthy little water war with your grandkids, that the question hits you, how did I get here? Is it just living in moderation or saving with gusto? Like getting 20% off your Rite Aid purchases every first Wednesday of the month with Rite Aid's new Wellness 65+. 20% off Wednesdays help seniors save big on water guns and everything else. Wellness 65+ also lets you accumulate points for every prescription, even Medicare, that earn you up to 20% off your Rite Aid purchases fast. It's one more way Rite Aid is helping you stay here, now that you've actually gotten here. Here, soaking wet and slinking through your own rose bushes. Stop by your Rite Aid, enroll free, and save this Wednesday with Wellness 65+. With us, it's personal. Certain limitations apply. See your Rite Aid store or RiteAid.com for details.
The Miami Dolphins suspended a player yesterday who was accused of bullying a teammate. Today, that separation appears to be permanent.
On Twitter, Richie Incognito wrote, "I want my name cleared," and told ESPN's Adam Schefter, "If you have a problem with me, bring it."
His background is very obvious. All you have to do is Google his name.
As Schefter points out, Incognito was blamed for picking fights in college and voted the NFL's dirtiest player before he was accused of the bullying, racial slurs, and death threat that led a teammate to quit. As for his future with the Dolphins,
he will not play for that team again. The question is whether he'll ever be allowed to play in the NFL again.
Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
The Supreme Court heard arguments today about the federal government's use of an anti-chemical weapons law used to prosecute a jilted woman who tried to poison her husband's mistress. Several justices, including Anthony Kennedy, say they were flabbergasted that the federal government prosecuted the case using a law based on an international treaty banning chemical weapons. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren, Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. For the rest of the show, it's going to be open mic. I want to thank Mike Chasney and Butch Taylor calling in from Plumbers and Pipefitters and from the Oil and Gas Association and talking about the fracking issue that's going on the ballot in the Mahoning Valley. I want to ask you guys to call in, and my number is 347-945-5229. And I want to talk about voter suppression right now, since I don't have guests on right now. I have such a major issue. Such a major issue right now, because the voter turnout right now is extremely low, and it's very, very low in the inner city. And I am tired of hearing about voter suppression when there is nothing suppressed. I'm tired of people manipulating the system for their own gain. But then when their gain is no longer gainable, then there is no more gain and there's no more suppression. I'm really having a big, big problem with this, because if we keep on allowing the system to play games with us, we will always be where we are. And this is a game, just like the oil and gas. When you have people and they find out that the people that are financing this and undergirding this is not people that are concerned about your health and wellness, but they're concerned about their bottom line, and it's fueled by foreign monies. Hello, wake up. Here we are. They're using you. And when you look at, you know, it's voter suppression. They're going to put me back in chains. I got to go stand in line and sing songs and do all that kind of crazy stuff. I got to have a bus to go and pick me up at church and take me around. And I got to have extended hours because if people have to be able to get to the polls. But nobody asked for an extended hour this year. No one asked for people to get taken to the polls this year, nor did they create any type of enthusiasm to make people go out and vote. And then when you go out and vote, you don't know whether to vote yes and or no on something that could be detrimental to your health and your economic stability of your community. You have your school board. You have your mayor's races. You have your trustees. These are the people who you have no idea how much power they have over you, and you treat them like chopped liver, but you guys extol and you guys embrace somebody that you will never shake their hand, they will never know your name, and you will never get a return phone call, you will never find them, they will never see you, and they really don't care about you, yet you will go stand in line for hours and watch them lie to you. And I am just overwhelmed and over-infuriated about people sitting up talking about voter suppression when you need to go out and vote and you don't.
Tell me what you really think, Tracy. We got the soapbox over there in the corner.
Huh? What? Hey.
You just did a really, really good monologue on voter suppression because you're absolutely right.
I got issues. I mean, I understand we got voter suppression every year, every 2 years.
No.
We got racism in the race every 2 years. We get manipulated every two years. But in the off years where it's really going to count, and you got Tweedledee and Tweedledum running for school board in your race, and you wonder why your kids can't read Tweedle or Dum, and you wonder what's wrong, and then everybody like, oh, no, that's just stupid.
Well, nobody ever follows the money of the people that are trying to manipulate them. I mean, that's the biggest thing we have to start doing is people, is when somebody's telling you something, trying to manipulate you one way or the other, find out who's paying them.
But this is not even about who's paying them.
Yeah, it is.
It's about you not even paying attention to who's there. You've got a school board race. Most of your school board, your superintendent gets paid $100,000 a year. We have something like 80 school boards within the Mahoning Valley, in Mahoning County. Some schools don't even have 1,000 people in the whole school. Yet we don't come out and vote. You got Youngstown City, and they are in the bottom five of the whole state. And you got Manny Moe and Jack running for school board.
Now, because of the state money, do they spend more money on per student in Youngstown than, say, a West Branch or a Sebring?
Absolutely. But that's not because of its inner city. It's because of the high handicap levels and the number, the volume. I mean, there.
Now, wait a minute. Let's go back to the handicap levels.
Yeah.
Do you think the handicap levels are being manipulated by the income levels of the population?
No. In some instances, yes, but mostly not. You got a lot of problems with lead and a lot of problems with there is a high special
substance abusing parents.
You got some issues, underlying issues that we will not address. And because you don't address them, it causes for learning disabilities. And those learning disabilities cause income revenue streams to go up.
So somebody's getting rich because people are abusing their bodies and making learning disabled children.
Somewhat. Sometimes it's environmental.
So it's...
No. Sometimes it's environmental. Sometimes it's not all drugs. See, that's what's wrong with you suburban and rural people. You'll want to lump everything into the same basket.
No, I'm not. But, I'm not. Because, I mean, I personally, I got a problem with the lead paint thing.
But you got a lot of stuff that's environmental.
Because
strictly environmental.
Because you've got just as many houses out in the country that are built before 1978 as you do in town.
Possibly so, yes.
So the lead paint thing is kind of a moot subject as far as children with learning disabilities, as far as I'm concerned, because just the number of houses each place. But the other socioeconomic factors that play in, parents involved in their children's lives, for example.
And that doesn't cause special needs. For the most part, I mean, we're talking about
ADD is big business.
But I'm not talking about ADD. I'm talking about handicap. I'm talking about severely. I mean, we have a serious special needs of children who are, you know, autistic, you know, hearing impaired, handicapped. I mean, huge. The special need, I mean, it's way beyond ADD, ADHD. Way beyond that.
But have they changed the way that they diagnose, say, autism? Are children that, and
no,
I'm asking, because
no,
I don't know,
no.
are
I mean,
children that wouldn't be considered
you,
autistic?
No, you can't
20
fake.
Years ago being considered
no,
autistic?
No, you can't fake autistic. When you see autistic, that's autistic.
Because autism and ADD are supposed to be first cousins.
They might be first cousins, but they're not related that close. Truly, no. When you have autistic children, you have an autistic child. And there's no creating you can't fake that.
Do you think lower income people are more likely to accept those diagnoses than say upper income
no.
people?
No, ADD you can't confuse ADD ADHD with autism. You can't confuse that at all. There's a huge difference between them. Huge. Autism is a disabling disorder.
But it's a defect from birth, correct?
Most times, yes. It's not created. ADD and ADHD is a defect from birth, but usually can be controlled. And it can be controlled sometimes without medication, sometimes
right.
can control because of diet.
Because
it can be caused by a lot of things.
Autism
is a mystery. Where when we were coming up, we didn't see a lot of autism. Now autism is like 1 in 7, and maybe 1 in 6. And when you see autism is a delayed developmental. Sometimes they're gifted in certain areas. Sometimes they're not.
It's like
MS.
There are people that claim that Edison and Henry Ford and even Einstein were all autistic.
I would say they're more ADD, or I wouldn't say autistic. I wouldn't. They're trying to speculate and make something out of something without a diagnosis. I can't say. I would not give them that at all.
Because there just has to be something. It's either we've changed or our environment has changed.
And that's what I'm saying. Some things are environmental. Some things are environmental. But when you look at ADD, ADD and ADHD, which is attention deficit
hyperactivity,
that's something different than autism. Autism is very, very unusual. And I know too many children who are autistic. And I know children who have ADD and ADHD, and they're totally different. And autism is on the rise, and it is not everybody's Rain Man.
Well, yeah, I understand that.
But when you see autism, a lot of children are gifted in certain areas, but it's not, you can't compare that. And there's a high level of autism. That's why you have potential development building a high school. And these kids learn differently, but as far as total function, very, very few that I have met have been to where they're functional. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, most people that I know, they won't be going out on their own too much, living, kicking it and making it better. Where people who are ADD and ADHD, I think more of them just learn differently, and they need to be disciplined in a lot of ways.
I'll agree with that.
But autism is not that. That's not that cousin. And when I look at youngsters,
in your opinion, because you've been around this more than I have, are there varying degrees of autism?
No. The autism is not varying degrees. Everybody, it's like MS.
Okay.
MS affects everyone differently. It affects everyone differently. So you can be perfectly fine, and then go somewhere, and it'll affect your eyes.
And just go off the wall.
And then sometimes it'll affect your legs, and it'll affect your arms, and it'll affect your organs, or it'll affect your speech. Every time you lapse, you never know where you're going to lapse to. Well, autism doesn't lapse differently in different people in the same person, but every person has a different dysfunction. Some people have no communicative skills. So they're very, very delayed in being able to have conversation. So you've got a five-year-old who still only has a vocabulary of maybe a two, three. Some of them are very affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them only associate to music. You know, it's different. And when you look at education, all those children go into the same school district a lot of times. And when you look at our special needs and special needs classes in the city of Youngstown, sometimes it can be very, very high. And I'm talking about more than just ADD, ADHD, more than just, I mean, mental retardation, more than just.
So,
I mean, if you look at Leonard Kurtz and all those are all public schools.
So where do you split the MRDD bus off from the standard school bus?
MRDD is the same school bus. They all go to the same school most of the time.
They don't have separate schools anymore like they did when we was kids?
No. It's called and as a matter of fact, a lot of them are, if you have a high population,
mm-hmm.
they get tested too. That's another topic for another day.
Okay.
But that goes back to policy and voting and not being informed. You have children who are being tested at the same level as your daughter who was graduated valedictorian with the same test and being graded the same way for the proficiencies because some dumb policymaker decided not to section them out.
Well, yeah, we can get into the standardized test discussion because I'm not a fan of standardized tests.
I'm just saying. I don't have a problem with measurement as long as measurement is fair. But when you put in a population of people who are not at the same learning level as the others,
mm-hmm.
and you count them as you do everyone else, it slights the test. And so if you look at Boardman and other schools who are in the suburbs, as their special needs classes grow, you'll see their testing and their proficiency rates go down.
Right, and I got a problem with that, and I also have a problem with the way that we're trying to educate people because boys learn different than girls, and we've got a school system that is designed to teach children more of the way that girls learn than the way boys learn.
Okay.
But we're going into these common cores and these standardized tests and all of this stuff, and we're taking our local school boards out of this loop.
But see,
more and more and more. And this goes back to voting for your local school board. If you're voting for people for your local school board that don't understand what some of this stuff is that's trying to take the power away from the local school board, they're going to stand by and let it happen.
I'm not – standardized testing I don't have a problem with because I think everyone should have a measurement tool. You won't know where to – but this is – see, your common core is – I'm without going there, I'm talking about just regular reading, writing, arithmetic, and understanding what a board member does, and understanding how the school functions, understanding how your political system functions. The problem that we have in our society today is most people do not understand how your educational system is funded and or functions.
See, I can tell you something about local school boards that I have a huge problem with, and that is retired teachers or teacher spouses being elected to school board. Because that, to me, is a conflict of interest.
It's not a conflict. It's not
because
a,
how can we be doing? How can now think about this? You and I are married. You're a teacher. I'm on the school board, and I'm negotiating your pay contract.
But you're not. As a school board member, you're not.
Who does that?
Your administrator, your superintendent.
And who approves it?
We ratify it, but we're not even sitting at the table.
School board has nothing to do with negotiations for teacher salaries.
School board has nothing to do with school board.
I'm asking.
School board really has not a lot of input to it. It's not like I am negotiating an individual contract for an individual person, and then if that person has to come up before the board for reprimand, who's in the district, then I have to recuse myself and step away. I have to abstain, and I walk out.
So what about the number of school districts in the area where the head administrator is actually brought up through the ranks from the school? You don't believe that's a conflict of interest either?
I think that what is happening is when you have a conflict of interest and you're sitting on that board, what you do is you step away from that issue.
Because
it's like me saying that my child should not go to the same school district that I'm a board member.
I wouldn't go that far because you're talking about people negotiating money.
The problem would be if my wife or my husband happened to be the superintendent of that school and I was a board member. That would be a bad, because my job as a board member is only to hire the superintendent and the treasurer.
You understand that, right?
Right.
But what I'm seeing is it seems to me like a lot of our school districts in the area have built themselves little fiefdoms.
What do you mean?
They've built themselves little fiefdoms where you have, and we've talked about this before, where you have a small group of people that's running the entire show, and they're going to make sure that what they want happens and everybody else is excluded.
That's not where in school boards. You have to have a majority vote. You don't have.
But you've said sitting here that the vote's already done. If you're not part of the majority, then you might as well stay home.
But again, that's why people have to get involved. But if I am, if it's my child or my husband, and I'm working in the school district, I've got to have a majority of three other people to get what I need to get done. You speak as a collective agent. That's where people mistake boards and legislature, but school boards in general. School boards, you have to be a part of a group of majority. You have to have four votes. You have to count the four.
Now,
if you don't understand your job, which that's where my contention is, most people who are running for office, they're running on a novice view, and they may or may not understand what they're walking into. And because they don't understand it, they get manipulated in it. So it's not about you hiring your husband or wife working in the school district. It's about you being manipulated to do something that you don't know that you're doing when you're sitting there.
Now, you're a big procedural person. Is there state law on how large a school board is, or is every school board the same number of members?
No. Depending on the population, usually. Youngstown has seven. Other boards around here have five.
Okay.
And the job of the school board member is to secure policy and to vote on policy, to hire the superintendent who's going to execute the policy, and to hire the treasurer who's going to execute the funding for the district at large. The school board really hasn't, and it should not have any say in any hiring and or firing of people.
Of individual teachers.
Absolutely not. We have no say in that.
Okay.
We ratify them and we okay the approval of them based upon it being brought to us by the superintendent. So the superintendent brings us the information and we vote on what the superintendent brings us. So if he says that he wants to do an anti-bullying platform, then, you know, we go and look at the legislation, we read it, research it, and then we give it back to him and we vote on it. And it's done in committee, and the committees are your curriculum, and they bring stuff from the school district there, but you really don't have any per se on, I want you to hire Billy Jack. I don't have that. I want you to fire Billy Jack. I want you to, we're not even allowed to go inside of schools and really throw our weight around. When we go there as a person of public relations.
Now, does the Sunshine Law apply to school board members?
Absolutely.
Okay.
South Carolina, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. Good
that's
afternoon.
That's Mike.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Mike. Hey, guys.
And so that's where we – hold on, Mike, just a second. That's where we lose. We need to understand the operation and the function of what these people do. It's like city council. City council, they do more than they're supposed to. In most places, especially larger cities, city councilmen are legislators. We call them for the streets. We call them for the health department. We call them for everything. But that's really not their job. What they do is they actually set up ordinances and policies. They pay the bills, and they distribute the monies. The mayor of the city is actually the administrator who hires the people to make sure the department heads are getting funded, and does what's supposed to happen outside of that area, making sure that your trash gets picked up, making sure that your streets get taken care of. That's the mayor's job.
And decide how big your soda's allowed to be.
No, that's not the mayor's job. That's only in the state of New York. But that's something that we need to understand, and most people don't comprehend and or have a knowledge base of how the government works. That's why they don't vote. See, they don't understand.
They're calling their congressman because there's a pothole in their street instead of their trustee.
Absolutely. Not understanding the trustee that they should be calling has an administrator there in the street department that they're paying salaries to and learning the chain of command. And what our problem is locally.
And that depends on your township.
That's true.
Because the township I grew up in, the trustees plowed the roads.
But they don't do that anymore. We hire those people. Don't get it twisted. They don't do that no more.
Oh, in Carroll County, there's still townships where the trustees, that's part of your job.
They ain't out there plowing it.
Yes,
themselves.
They are.
They're getting into, that's a, no.
I'm telling you, in Carroll County, there are still.
Not with the money they're making down there. No. And not so blind, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And where I grew up, blind people had to shovel the snow. We just walked up and down the streets with our stick, just sweeping it off into the gutter.
Mike.
That's what we did, yeah. But thank God we had enough blind people to keep the city plowed.
Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Mike.
Oh, life is good. Let's laugh.
Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you supposed to be acting up like that?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think so.
Because it's your radio career on the hook, not mine. I get to come here and see what doesn't work.
Mike.
I've been trying to get her to do a spoof song called Three Blind Mikes.
No. No.
It's okay. I wouldn't be offended, but the other two mics might be.
No.
I know you wouldn't be.
No. You guys are so bad.
You're a lot of fun. You got pretty thick skin.
Some days.
Yeah. I remember one time I was teaching on stage and I had transparencies and I was doing them and somebody snuck in the middle of them. A little handwritten transparency and the audience starts laughing and I'm going, gee, there's no braille markings on this transparency. What the heck is this that I just put up? And somebody says, no, go ahead, it goes next. I go, okay. And I put it in the machine, and the audience all starts laughing and everything else. I don't know what it's about. And then somebody came up and whispered what it was. Somebody had written on it, will somebody please tell Mike his fly is open?
Jeez, old man, Mike. Hold on just a second. Brown, is that you?
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
I like not so blonde Mike a lot. The rest of you, occasionally.
Oh.
But I really like not so blind Mike. He has a good sense of humor, a good attitude. How could you not like him?
Yeah. Well, that's also because that's why I also have not only a good sense of humor, but I have so much common sense I'll never run for political office.
Who would put themselves up for such scrutiny?
You know, people that really care.
No, people that are really narcissistic. I've read that's the commonality with all people in Congress. They're narcissistic.
I disagree with that because I think it goes with the. I think it's kind of like the same thing somebody told me about people that do 30 or 20 years in the military.
Yeah.
You got two kinds of people that do 20 years in the military. The people that really care, and then the people that are just looking because they know it's a steady paycheck as long as they don't screw up too bad.
Well, that's a hard way to go just for a paycheck.
I think it's narcissism. I don't think any of them, I don't know how many of them really, really care, other than caring about themselves and continuing to get a lick of it. And you hear this sentiment expressed by people on both sides, or all sides, and that's why people are pretty disgusted with Congress. Politicians, generally speaking, they're fake, phony people. and I can prove it, and I probably said it on this show before, but just go up to a politician or a congressman or someone that you've never met before, that's maybe not even being from your district, and say, hey, how you doing? Do you remember me? Every single time they're not going to say no, they don't remember you.
Right.
That's so disingenuous.
Brown, now hold on, wait a minute. Let me say it this way, because you know I thought about that yesterday. It's not that I don't know you. I just can't place you, and I'm not. And when I say, let me say this honestly. If depending on what you do, you know, I meet people in so many different areas. People know me, and they know my name, and they know who I am. And it's not that I don't care about who you are. I just got too many faces for my little pea brain. And I'm talking about Tracy. I never want to hurt you and or let you feel as though you're not important to me. But I do want you to know how important you are to me. And if I tell you that I don't know who you are, I may hurt your feelings.
Well, the way I handle it is,
with all due respect, Tracy, I find when something requires a very long explanation, the truth requires a very simple explanation. But when someone wants to explain something, it seems like it takes a longer explanation to explain something that's, you know, kind of disingenuous. I find it disingenuous. You don't have to.
I'm saying overall, because people, you may find it disingenuous, but people get hurt when you tell them, no, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I would never say that I knew someone
that
I didn't.
I'm not going to tell you that I don't know you. And then, what I'm saying is, I may not tell you that I don't know you, but I'm not going to tell you that I do know you. But I'm not going to, and it's a touchy spell, because I've told my mom, when we go out, if you don't hear me say, hey, you know, mommy, this is Sticks, this is mommy, you better put your hand out there and say, hi, I'm Sue, you know, this is, and let them introduce, because I don't know their name, and I may or may not know who they are.
Well, see,
I have the same problem.
What'd you say, Mike?
I get honest with it, like Beasley recommend. I get right to the point. I say, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm having a real hard time placing the face.
Refresh
no,
my memory.
It all depends. It all depends on how well they come. Because some folks come to be like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? I'm like, hey, woo, who is
hey,
that?
Ooh, hey.
Tracy, are you a politician?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd call myself a politician.
Kind
you
of talk
radio
yourself
host. They're first cousins.
I feel like I don't know if I'm a politician, but I get out there pretty far. And I'm sorry, I just can't. There's too many faces, too many names, too many people.
Yeah.
And especially if you're not where you belong. See, if I know you from the grocery store, then I need to see you at the grocery store. But if I see you at another store, you're not where you belong. I know you as
have
Mike
you ever
from the grocery
considered
store.
Running, have you ever considered running for office?
She has.
I run for several offices.
You're a politician, Tracy. You're just the person that I'm speaking of. Repent.
But I'm not a politician. I'm not a politician. I'm not a politician. We've turned it into a dirty word. I'm not a politician. I'm a person that likes to serve the public.
See, another one of those explanations, my dear.
That's not an explanation of who I am.
You got to know Tracy on a personal level. There ain't no politician.
I've listened to her long enough.
Where the bear did his business in the woods in a heartbeat. To be honest, if I was voting for somebody, I'd vote for a person like Tracy, because when I ask her what she's going to do for me, she's going to say, keep the government off your back.
Pretty much. But I'm not going to lie to you either. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's what I want in an elected official. Protect me from all the morons that want to help me.
And that's what I'm saying. There's some good people out there. You know, I know some people out there who are, they know your name every time you see them, and they make legislation, and they do stuff, and they kill you. They really do.
Twisting that knife in your back.
I mean, they'll steal your mama blind. Mike, they run him into a trash can just for the sake of the trash. Then that's not who I am. But do I remember your name and who you are? depends on what day it is, because some days I have very bad days.
I got to be honest. There's people I go to church with every Sunday. I don't remember their names.
Damn, people come to me, how you doing? What's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm not good with remembering names either.
I mean,
so.
I think it ought to be a rule in every church in the country that once a month everybody has to wear a name tag, to be honest.
Sure. You guys know I'm in Rotary, and I've got Rotarian members, and I've been in there for 3 years, 3 or 4 years, and I have to be honest with you. Thank God they wear name tags. And it took me the longest time to find out who was who. Hey, Rick, how you doing, honey? Happy New Year. Did you go vote?
Tracy and friends?
Did you go vote?
I am going. I did not go yet. I am going, but you know me. I'm not voting for any of these knucklehead people that's out here. Tell you that much.
Vote for Trey. Now, did you vote for me when I ran? Tell
you know
the truth,
what? I
the
told
devil.
You I didn't, but I did. I did, and I don't know why I did. I mean, I should have been like everybody else and not voted. I mean, really. I don't know why I did, but I did vote for you, yes.
Okay, just making sure.
It
was that campaign picture of her passing out bread up on the interstate, loaves of bread. That's what grabbed you right there.
What did you run for, Tracy?
I was on the school board, and then I ran for president of council, and I ran for county auditor, and then I put myself out there for state senate, and then withdrew and started this crazy radio show.
That story you told me about running for auditor just makes me laugh so hard.
Don't even mention it.
People out in my neighborhood voted for you, and people in the city of Youngstown wouldn't.
Yeah, I won out there. I won places where black folks, I went in the whole place and the church just went quiet. Like, who are you? I just can't. I'm just running for auditor. How you doing?
Well, listen.
Yeah, Rick.
You can't blame people for, you know, not doing what you want them to do. You know, it's sad. It's unfortunate that we don't know the people that are in these elected positions in office and the people that we think we do know, especially ones that we claim we're going out to vote for. Things just don't seem to be adding up, Trace. I mean, look at America. You know, we got what we voted for. Now, is that really the person that we wanted to be the president of the United States?
But he gave you a warm fuzzy, and that's all you needed.
That's the problem with
us. We want people that are going to give us warm fuzzies up and down our leg and make us feel like
right.
We want to tinkle and stuff.
People that are not afraid to hurt our feelings by saying that they don't really remember us. We want people to protect our feelings.
But we vote for these people, and all under the auspice of I know Obama. I know Jay Williams. I know Jermaine Kitchen.
I know.
You don't know these people. You don't know them.
I know them. Yeah,
generally,
I know them.
In a presidential election, so much stuff comes out about each candidate. Generally, people just hold their nose.
Brown. Now, come on, let's be real about this. You know when President Obama ran, it wasn't because they held their nose. They went there with a sense of pride.
Maybe the first time around.
The second time around,
I don't think so.
Listen, when I went out to Los Angeles earlier this year, you people out there in L.A. tried to land. I didn't even put on my elephant nowhere in L.A. And they could have known
that
there's
no
elephants in L.A.
You can't.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of Republicans in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but they wasn't where. No, they wasn't where I was at.
Where? Please tell me where.
That was in the hood, Brown. They tried to land base. Listen, Brown, we had a family dinner while I was out there. They jammed me up in the corner like they was going to kill me.
Republicans out there.
And they said, we
That's
listen to you on the
true.
Radio.
I run into all types of Republicans and conservative people, and they exist.
Hey, well, they must wear a mask.
Most people in Los Angeles, generally speaking, are completely apathetic to the political system.
Brown, listen. They listen to my program on iHeart or Blog Talk, and These are my people. They had a family dinner because I came to town to say hi. And they jammed me up in a corner. I thought I was going to have to run to the border like the Mexicans. Now, I know there's some Republicans out there, but they keep quiet.
Of course there are. But they're hiding. They're hiding because it's Los
Angeles. They keep quiet.
I was born and raised here. To hear you guys speak like this, it doesn't ring true.
Brown, what part of L.A. do you live in?
I live all over the city. I lived downtown for many years. I lived in the Mid-Wilshire district. The Mid-Wilshire district.
Oh, okay. Because I was not too far.
But I'm all over the place. When I'm there.
Sir, my question to you is: did the Republicans you knew, did they Los Angeles?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear his question.
What'd you say, Rick?
The Republicans you knew, did they run Los Angeles?
Well, actually, yes. The Republicans that I knew and that were around were members of a fairly exclusive, expensive men's athletic club downtown.
Yes, and they drove in and they drove out.
Well, they drove in and they drove out, but while they owned properties. They own businesses.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely. And they drove in, they drove out, and they talked politics amongst their friends. And how many of them were African-American?
A few, but not many.
Not many.
Okay, but did they run Los Angeles? See, that's what I'm talking about.
Well.
Come on, be honest, sir. Be honest.
I'm going to answer your question. I'm always honest.
Anything you just take out and telling me anything that takes a long explanation is disingenuous. Come on, Brown.
Yeah.
No, I'm not giving you a long explanation. I like to sound intelligent when I talk. So it's important sometimes to collect your words instead of just letting them blurt out. But yes, I felt that they were in positions of power. They may not have been the figureheads. They may not have been the people running for office. But those guys that ran for office and that held positions, elected positions, were also members of this club, and they were always kissing up to these moneyed guys. So did they run? Yes.
And let me put it to you this way. They ran Los Angeles because I found out that the people that run the city are not the ones that carry the titles.
Right. Well, that's
as with every other major city in the country.
Yes, that's usually the case. That's usually the case.
But they run in the city.
Don't get them twisted. They run in the city. Understand.
And the movers and shakers in D.C. don't have a D or an R after their name, and they ain't reporting to Congress either.
Nor they can't. I mean, you got to understand. People are running the place. The problem is we don't understand that they're running it, but they're running it. And
that's
their R's and D's.
That secret club, expensive, exclusive club. Yeah, they carry a letter. Don't let's not get it fooled. They do carry a letter, and in Los Angeles, the reason why they like Obama so much is because that letter they carry is a D and it's not an R.
None of those guys liked Obama. Some of them are outwardly racist. Not all of them, but there are a few of them that are
I got to agree with you. Los Angeles is a very, 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 very racist community in a lot of ways.
You're generalizing a very diverse city that probably has.
I know. But the racism is based on a socioeconomic versus a color.
Thank you, yes. Right.
So in LA, a black guy driving a Bentley is better off than a poor guy than a white guy driving a Pinto.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if you got absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. You are judged by what you drive and where you live.
Image is everything in Los Angeles.
Everything in Los Angeles is superficial. You don't know if you got a friend or a foe, and you could be friends for years. When you look at reality television, reality TV is real in L.A.
Obama.
Well, not everybody, but there are fake people, and I think there's fake people everywhere.
Reality television is a reality in L.A. And that's just real. You don't know if your parents love you in L.A. And I'm not saying all. I'm not generalizing with all, but that's a good. I mean, that it's tough out there. Hold on, Alabama. How you gonna hit your button earlier and then not say nothing?
I was, but I had to go, and y'all had this guy on there telling me, you know, I don't live in Ohio, so, you know, I mean, I listen, but after a while it gets boring, because I'm like, man, I don't live up here. I'm in Atlanta. I'm in Alabama today. I'm still down here today.
Alabama, but you ought to come here and live.
I can't come. It's too cold. I'm a country boy. I like heat. I like, you know, to me, 50 degrees, that's about as low as I go. 50 degrees. I can't go no lower than that.
It was 20 degrees the other morning.
See, I can't do that. I can't do that at all. But as far as what y'all was talking about, my brother lived in Irvine for about 10 years. And when he first got there, he was driving an old Nissan Maxima. He quickly got rid of it because, you know, he was like, I don't want no new car. I'm fine. I made my payments. I'm good. He got there. He was like, I got it. So he went and got a BMW. 750, whatever it was, 740, whatever it was back then. Yeah, he got it. He would pull up. He got the rims, but you pull up in L.A., it's an old lady in a Lamborghini.
With a hoopty, you would get left on the side of the road.
He would go to the gym and be, you know, pulling up, and you know they had like a little valet, so 24-hour fitness over there by John Wayne Airport somewhere. I forget where specifically.
Yeah,
but it would just be a car show. So he said he felt funny, so he went and got something. But I told him not to do it, but he went and bought it. But
he knew what he was doing.
The car show.
He did it because he did business up there and people judge him.
One at a time, guys.
The car culture is a very big thing, and there are a lot of, you know, people that seem they're driving cars that they can't afford. When I was just there a few months ago, seems like everybody's in a newer car. And maybe there more than other places. And I guess that is superficial and phony. But people treat you much better if they think that you've got some money. They treat you much better. It's amazing.
That's everywhere.
That's the same way everywhere,
though.
No, not like that.
That's the same way everywhere.
Not like L.A.
Well, when I was in Cincinnati, hold on, guys.
Hold on. Go ahead, Rick.
All I'm saying is L.A. is different. I get what you're saying, Brown, and I understand all that, but L.A. is a different smell. It's a different taste. Everything is different about L.A. and life and living in L.A. You're not going to Los Angeles thinking you're going to fit in just because you have a vocabulary. You're not fitting in. You're not going to L.A. talking about I'm going to fit in just because I stayed in a certain hotel. No, you don't fit in until you look like you're somebody. That's L.A.
Yeah, ugly people don't make it in L.A.
Well, I guess I just do fine out that end.
Well, yeah, I don't have that problem. I was born there, and you know what I learned from myself? I rejected all of that stuff. I did my own thing, and I don't really care. I learned not to care what people think. And I learned not to be around superficial people. And there are
superficial people. How did you manage that
people.
And live there?
It's real simple. You just go, do yourself. Just stay in your own path.
My brother was in Atlanta.
I got a question for Brown. I got to ask him something really quick. Brown, what is up with you guys taking EBTs at the fast food restaurants out there?
Nobody consults me about any of this stuff, Tracy. I don't have an EBT card. I never have one. I just read about that. I didn't know that you can go to Burger King and do that in certain counties. No, but you got to believe that no one consults me or even lets me know about any of this stuff.
Brown, I was out there and I went to the drive-thru and they take EBTs at the fast food restaurant. What is up with that? And I don't know why.
Not food stamps, Tracy.
I read an article in L.A. County.
I can tell you what the reason is. Not every county,
but they do it in San Francisco County too. And from what I understood, that many people that receive the EBT benefits, that they may be homeless, or they may live in a place without a kitchen. So that's, you know, that this is how they're able. This is how they're able.
That's
to
how they rationalize.
That's how they rationalize
the EBT at the El Pollo Loco, right?
Well, if someone it's better that they eat El Pollo Loco than you know something else. I guess it's healthier. But I was surprised to hear that too.
I thought it was only the Mexican community could use them only at Mexican places.
Mike, that was not nice.
Enchilada, burrito, and taco.
Mike, that's not nice.
No, it's a funny thing. I looked at the list of the places, and it's regular fast food places, Jack in the Box, McDonald's,
really?
But not in every county. But I think it's in L.A. County, and I know it's in San Francisco County.
So they didn't question.
But that's a new stream of revenue, though.
Man,
right.
I mean, everywhere you looked in Los Angeles County, they had these real, real big signs next to the payment center. You got these little things that say, you know, Visa, American Express, Diners Club, and whatever the other one is.
EBT.
And Discover. And then they had this huge sign that says, we accept EBT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually, this is what I was always told. When you see that we accept EBT, a lot of times it was for, like, on those EBT cards, they place welfare. It's not just EBT, like food stamps.
Ooh.
But, it sounds like you guys got food stamps as well.
Listen to what I'm saying. We're talking about straight up food stamps. We're talking about food
it's
stamps.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's just a different way of delivering the benefit instead of giving actual stamps or those little coupons that they used to have. Now they put
in Ohio,
it in
we call them direction cards, whatever you want to call them. They got food stamps at the local.
But if you get a welfare check, they put it on that card too. Now they do that too now. So it's not just
Alabama.
Yeah. So it depends.
Saying.
Some of
you
them.
Get, your food in Los Angeles County, your food stamp card, not your benefit card. Your food stamp card is accepted at the local
variety of different
fast food restaurants.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, they've been running. Democrats been running that city for what, ages? So, I mean, it's coming. You think they gonna jump the fence?
If I was
an illegal, I would jump the fence and go get free stuff too. I mean, that's just, both of them. I ain't just saying that, but. They both do it. They both giving out. It's all about that. They're about to give them amnesty. It's about to go down.
Okay, so my understanding of this is that only certain people can utilize this benefit, which is those who are deemed homeless, and they can only use it at
restaurants. Diva. They don't discriminate based upon your address. Now, your county that you live in,
yeah,
if you're
they
in Los
can.
Angeles County, Diva, the county that you live in, no matter what county that is, if you are in Los Angeles, if you got an EBT, you can use your EBT card or whatever that benefit card is at your local fast food restaurant.
But if someone
computerized,
so they're
if
eat.
That person is deemed, they can manipulate
no,
that
Diva,
card in such a way because it has a chip in it.
Diva, sweetheart, I don't care how you would manipulate that card. If you got an EBT card, welfare food stamp card, in Los Angeles County, you can use it at the fast food restaurant, point blank.
But what I'm saying is, from what I've researched, it's not for everybody. It's only for those
for
they have
everyone
seen.
In that county.
It's not. What I'm saying is, it's not for everyone in that county. It's for the ones who they deemed homeless.
You are,
that's what I'm
you are
saying.
In error, Diva.
Okay.
I read the
There's
article.
There's no residential status on the card, Diva. They would have no way of policing that.
Yeah, ask Brian.
Yes, they do. It has a chip in it.
It
has
the
a chip in it. They have a
explained everything pretty well. It even gave a list of the counties, and then you clicked on the counties. It told you what restaurants or what fast food places that you can go to. But it didn't make it. I read the article. It was pretty detailed. And I think it was put out by the state of California. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And it didn't make any. And it said that was the reason why, because of there's so many homeless that receive these benefits. But it didn't make any indication about, you know, it excluded certain people.
See, I don't have a problem with any of that because at least they're buying food with it. You know, it may not be the highest quality food, but then again, poor folks aren't known for eating the healthiest diets in this country either.
All kinds of people.
I hate to say it. It's people that go to McDonald's now than it is to go to the store. You go to the store nowadays, I mean, the bell pepper's $4. So you probably can get a combo for that.
Yeah. And And I'll tell you the one thing I did find offensive about 30, 35 years ago that just shocked me one time at a bank application for a loan, that when you were listing all your different types of income, and I could understand Social Security and I could understand pension, but at the bottom it said welfare check. And I'm going, how do you get to use a welfare check as income applying for a bank loan when basically means you're on public assistance, you're indigent? How does that qualify you? And especially because if you are on public assistance, you're basically judgment-proof, whereas anybody else who has a Social Security check or has a pension check can be sued by the bank if they don't pay, where someone on welfare can't be sued, and you can't garnish a welfare check like you can garnish a paycheck. And so I found it kind of like double standard, kind of offensive to the lower-income working people that they would list on a bank application a welfare income.
Well, you better believe anybody that checked that box probably was disqualified automatically from getting a loan.
Well, I did ask the banker about it, and she was a girl I grew up with, and she said, no, we can't deny him. And I said, come on, this is me and you. She says, no. She says, they get approved all the time. They just don't get approved for a lot, but they do get approved, she said. Of course, this goes back, like, 1978, somewhere in there.
Yeah, if you stick it to the banks.
Yeah.
Get a pat on the back.
Yeah. But the EBT card for food, I just, for some reason, doesn't bother me. At least they're eating. That was the whole point of that card.
Right. I do stand corrected. I read the article wrong, and it doesn't discriminate against whether you're homeless or not. But, in this economy, it's expensive going to the grocery store. It's just me and my daughter, and my food budget was $500, $500, $600 a month.
Yeah, and a lot of these fast food places run these deals, like you'll see at some of the roast beef joints, you know, they'll do a thing where for $5 you can get 5 roast beef sandwiches. Now, being homeless, you may have a storage problem, but if that's not your problem, to get 5 roast beef sandwiches for $5 is a pretty good deal for a mom with 3 or 4 kids.
Yeah, and fries and a drink is now $1.
Or you get little coupons and things, or you know whatever.
You might have some health care issues later on down the line, but at least you can eat.
Yeah.
Well,
you'll die faster
of starvation if you will with bad nutrition.
Yeah, it's on every corner though. Diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol problems. Advertise it on television.
I think that documentary, Supersize Me, was kind of, you know, it was a little far-fetched, some of the stuff he tried to over-exaggerate, but it is pretty.
Oh, no.
McDonald's. No, when I say over-exaggerate, this dude was like, he was having heart problems after one burger. He was just going
all
the way out.
Well, after 30
days. He was going way
out.
I was like, come on.
But that was after 30 days, though.
He lived a particular.
No. He was saying, there were times in that documentary, I watched it not too long ago, where he was saying, I had this, and it just, my heart, he went and did something, and he said his blood pressure or something, he said it went up just after a few minutes. Yeah, he hadn't even been that far into the documentary, and he was going far. Sometimes people over-sensitive.
He was eating McDonald's
3 times. I'm not going to eat McDonald's for 30 days.
And before that experiment, he was like a super healthy vegetarian vegan, super clean eater. So I'm sure that was a big shock to his system. How much weight did he gain? Didn't he gain like 30 pounds or 40 pounds?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he put himself up for that experiment.
I saw myself doing that, and I gained about, I went from 105 to 150 in 30 days.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You ate McDonald's for 30 days?
Yeah.
Why?
It's addictive. Fries are good.
I had a lot going on at the moment, so I was very, very stressed out, and that's all that was like comfort food for me.
Yeah.
So
for
30 days straight, that's all I was eating practically 3 days a week, and I was eating
I eat McDonald's that long. Like, I don't know what it is about McDonald's. It just makes me sick. I'll eat it like a couple of times a year. I don't eat it that much. Not that I won't go to a fast food place, but I'd rather go to a little bit of more of an upscale place and pay $10, like a Panera Bread, which we have a lot of those down here in the South. I'd rather pay that and get something, and just for an extra $5 to $6 more, and get something a little bit better than McDonald's, because it'll really hit you hard. Every time I eat McDonald's, my stomach blows out.
Hey, this
will
cut off.
The Panera here, if I spend $7 at Panera, I'm still going to be hungry because you don't really get them for your
butt. Get that front tag of chicken. That's what you get. You get you a front tag of chicken, some fries, and you get one of them raspberry lemonades. I'm good. And I'm 217 pounds. So, I mean, if I would be hungry, too, but it fills me up. I'm decent.
Man, I need to get the two sandwiches, the chips, the apple, and
I can't eat like that.
Before.
Then I eat slow. That's a habit I picked up when I was young. You always eat slow. You don't eat fast. Yeah, you can run through that. But if you eat slow, it'll fill you up. You'd be surprised.
That's true. It takes
a lot of weight management has to do with how you portion control and how you eat. You're eating how you actually, the act of eating. People don't believe that, but it does.
Right. You have to chew your food. And it takes 20 minutes for the signal to get from the brain to the stomach and back to the brain that you're full. And when you're eating for that 20 minutes before the signal comes in thinking you're still hungry, that's, you know, a big cause of people eating too much. I've been juicing the past 3 weeks, and juicing is more expensive than anything else.
Yeah, because you don't get but a few drops per.
Well, you're getting some out of it, but yeah, you know, the vegetables are, you know, they're not cheap.
A friend of mine to the Whole Food Market down here, and I was like, oh, I know it's healthy, but my God.
Whole Foods is a ripoff. 50% of that stuff in there is not organic. They messing folks up. If you see natural or artificial flavors on the back of something, they lobbied Congress. It's 10,000 different chemicals they can put in food and call it natural flavors.
Right. But Whole Foods is very popular. I go to Trader Joe's, but I just go to the produce market at the produce section of any markets that I go to, and I've been buying beets and carrots, apples, radishes. Radishes are.
I believe if we eat the way we're intended to eat, we would live up to 120. I believe I'm really that doggone gullible.
Probably.
I do. I believe it. I believe if we were just to eat, look, I can eat meat because animals out there in nature eat it, but the type of meat we eat, you can have maggots in your ground beef, and it's accepted.
Oh.
You can have roaches and rats and eggs. That's actually accepted. So they accept that type of stuff. There's a certain amount you can have.
Oh, see, there goes my Big Mac. Thanks a lot, Alex.
There you go. That's good.
Your Big Mac is just paper. Half of that is cardboard. They accept. They got the FDA. They can put paper.
Oh, come on, Alabama. Let me just enjoy my Big Mac.
I thought you saw the documentary.
I don't know that he's saying.
I did. I still like it.
For you. Well.
You'd be surprised what you'll eat. I mean, and what they're telling us, like in cereal. And look, we need to get back. I wish I could go back to growing my own food, but it's hard.
Well, I've been enjoying juicing, and it's amazing. It makes me feel energized. Drink some carrot, apple, celery, beet juice with
there's a problem. You know what the problem is? When people come out and push and promote juicing, there are a lot of scientists. These food companies pay people to come out and say, "Well, that's not the case," and this and that. And what is it? Wheatgrass.
You
want to
know something?
They say wheatgrass is better when you cut it fresh. Then they have people come out, and that's not true because it's about money. They don't care about trying to make sure you're healthy. But you look at what these wealthy Bilderbergers eating and Congress, their whole thing, Congress and Senate, all that stuff is new, organic, in Washington. Everything is organic. It's a trip.
Well, I bet those old rich men, when they get old, they want to stay around longer. They probably eat as light and as healthy as can be. And I bet most of them exercise, too.
They do
their best.
Oh, yeah.
But yet nothing absorbs into the body faster the nutrients than the juices, than those fresh juices. And I've been doing some reading, and I've known about it before, but the reading, I went to the emergency room. I found out, I thought it was trapped gas. I'd been there before. What it was is gallstones, and that's serious pain. And they wanted to take it out right then and there, but they were going to do tests to see if it's infected. Long story short, it wasn't infected. And I'd rather not have a surgery if I don't have to have a surgery. So I've been drinking these juices, and I haven't had a reoccurrence of the pain. And from what I'm reading, some of this stuff that I have coming, I ordered some lecithin and some turmeric and some milk thistle, that they can actually, you take these things, that they can actually dissolve or eliminate the gallstones. So that's what I'm trying
but,
to
yeah,
do.
But there is no money in that. Yeah. I agree.
Well, I don't know. I guess on the, yeah, well, the vitamins and the stuff that I ordered that's on the way, that costs $70. But it's not as much money as going to the doctor. It's damn
yeah,
sure
I'm
not
saying,
much
you
money
go to the doctor,
operation.
I'm talking about, you have $20,000, $30,000 you go up there talking about some gallstones.
Right. The you know, right. You're right.
I mean, my thing is with the body, when it comes to enzymes, if your body had the proper amount of enzymes and it was able to absorb just what you ate, the nutrients, and get all of the nutrients out of it, you would actually probably, we wouldn't have as many health problems. We wouldn't be as hungry. Your body's hungry because that's the only way it knows to say, hey, I need some iodine. Hey, I need some whatever. And,
right.
And if you get hungry and you eat something that it doesn't need thinking, and you get this full feeling, but you're still gaining weight because your body's about balance. Boy, it's just like your pH, all that. If you don't, if you're out of balance, your whole body's going to be off. I don't care what you do.
You hit the nail on the head because it's amazing. After drinking two, you know, fairly large, you know, 16-ounce cups of this juice in the morning, not only am I burping like I ate food, but I'm not hungry. I'm just not hungry. I might get a little hungry later, but you'd think that you would be hungry. I'm not hungry at all.
I don't see anything with meat. Like, I'm not just totally against meat. I just think it's how the meat was, what's in the meat. What are they giving you? Like for example, I worked at Winn-Dixie. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. Winn-Dixie is a beef place, and our meat goes rotten after 3 days. You go to Walmart meat can last up to, like, 10 days, man. They pump chemicals in it, and then they take it and send it to Sam's. So you'd be surprised what we're really eating. You'd be surprised.